right here at the Mayburn Civic Center in Temple with Richard from the Metrotrans Ambulance Service and, of course, the Million Dollar Man, Bruiser Brody, and Gary Hart. And I'll be talking to Gary Hart in just a moment. But, Richard, I know that you've come every time that Bruiser Brody is around, you're with him.
Yes, sir, I sure am. There's one thing that I'd like to say right now, if I can. On behalf of Metrotrans Ambulance Service Company of San Antonio and the Emergency Medical Services of Texas, I'd like to stress that y'all wear your seatbelts. It's not only a law, but it saves lives.
And it also costs you a fine. The highway patrol catch you out there on the road.
Right.
Thank you, Richard. Let me go over here now to Mr. Gary Hart. And Gary Hart, it's all laid out here in front of us. I know what it is. I was at the doctor's office a couple of weeks ago with Scott Casey. The people have seen what happened to him inside the cage. And I just don't agree with the things that you and the Million Dollar Man are doing.
You mean to tell me that you disagree that Bruiser Brody and Gary Hart should not take full advantage of these gentlemen's technique in stopping bleeding? Here are some bandages for elbows, ankles, scratches, abrasions, bruises, some type of eye wash in case something's thrown into your eyes. All kinds of things in here. Look at this here. In case Bruiser Brody actually break someone's leg, it can be encased in here from what this gentleman tells me, and until he gets to the hospital to get taken care of. Here, I think Scott Casey had one of these very things around his neck, didn't he?
He sure did.
Whew, boy, I tell you, this guy's got a lot of stuff in here. Now, looky here. Just in case someone's knocked unconscious or feeling faint from just the sight of Bruiser Brody, then we have oxygen, see? So we've taken care of everybody. I will guarantee everyone that gets in the ring and wrestles Bruiser Brody, they are going to have competent medical help on their way to the hospital. Because you can look at it like this. You can call Bruiser Brody whatever you want. I like to look at him sort of like a wrestler who cares about his opponents. We want our opponents to know that they are going to get beat up really, really bad. But as soon as they get beat up real bad, someone's going to be there looking after them. This gentleman and his partner, they pick up people that are in plane crashes. They pick up people that are in drowning situations. They pick up people that have been in hurricanes and tornadoes. I mean, these gentlemen are really, really, really competent men. So at least when you fight Bruiser Brody, you're going to know you're going to have the very best medical service from the arena to the hospital, and you're going to have our best wishes, and that's about all. And if I didn't do this, I would be afraid that anyone would be afraid to wrestle Bruiser Brody. I'm trying to give them all the insurance a person could possibly want.
Well, this is a thing I don't agree with. I mean, there's no reason to have all this because you shouldn't be doing what you're doing to require this service.
Bruiser Brody is such a strong competitor that who really has a chance? Tell me in the last 15 years, anyone that's ever put Bruiser Brody's shoulders to the mat. No one. Tell me anyone in the last 15 years that wants to get in the ring and wrestle Bruiser Brody. Tell me the last person in the last 15 years, how many people have been hurt at the hands of Bruiser Brody. And me being a wise manager, I realize that a service such as this is needed, and I frown on your attitude, because if we're doing anything, it's trying to bring safety to the business that we make our living in.
I know you have some important business to take care of right now.
Yes, we do. David Patterson, you may be next. By the way, let me see here. From now on, you know what I'm going to do? When they're laying on here, I'm going to check them out, make sure they're healthy on their way to the hospital. You too, David Patterson. We're going to get you next, brother.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the inventory with Gary Hart and the Metrotrans Ambulance crew. And now let's go inside for our next match where Bruiser Brody takes on the Hitman.
Hey, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Phil, Jay, and that pin in the ass Choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
All right.
What are we, 33 years later? 33?
32 years today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome. Episode 364, I think it is. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. Year 9 is now in effect. I'm Phil.
I'm Choppy the Gypsy.
And I'm Jay.
Oh, boy.
And collectively, we are known as the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right.
We are the version of the elite of the TakeOver Club. We are
Choppy's
the elite.
Choppy's a pain in the ass. Choppy's a pain in the ass.
You hear me?
Well, if that's the case, then I'm definitely Hangman Adam Page.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Did you guys hear me, Gene? Saying Choppy's a pain in the ass? Did you hear that?
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
It wouldn't be a Turnbuckle Throwbacks without being called a pain in the ass. Come on.
I tell you,
there's some good shtick on the old throwback for tonight with
Mean Gene.
Yeah, Mean Gene and
Marlon Hayes.
Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah, it should be good. So, right before we went on, I was doing an audio video check, and Tabor. My new favorite wrestler is Luchasaurus, she says.
She says straight up her new favorite wrestler is Luchasaurus.
And I can't even be mad at that because Luchasaurus is the man, man.
She's like, who is that? I was like, oh, that's Luchasaurus. And I'm saying it, I was like, oh, he's like a million and a half years old.
Yeah, like you know him. You know. Is anybody monitoring the chat room? Because I cannot. So anybody monitoring the chat room?
Hold on, I thought I had it right here.
On the Fajas Libre?
I got it.
Say hello to everybody then, Chop. Who's in there?
Your mom's in there.
Hey, Mom. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. I think I'll see Mom tomorrow on my niece's birthday. My niece's birthday today. Hi, Jackie. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Richie's there.
Anybody see Richie?
Richie!
Anybody see Rich? Where is my fucking... There it is. This is for you, Rich.
Anybody see Richie?
And you know, if Jimmy Ferrari was in the house, he would say...
I'm over here now.
That's right.
Uptown Georgie's in the house.
Uptown Georgie's in the building, all right. That's good to know.
And we also have Shaylin.
Of course, Shaylin's in the building.
And Shiny Wizards Kevin is as well.
Oh, wow.
Well, Lordy freaking God!
There you go. How the fuck is everybody doing?
We're good. I mean, I love the fact that we opened up with a Bruiser Brody promo. That was great.
Absolutely.
An ambulance Bruiser Brody promo.
Yes.
It was Gary Hart, Bruiser Brody, and the announcer doing a promo in the back. And there was an ambulance with a stretcher and equipment of like all the stuff that Bruiser Brody's going to put his opponents in with neck braces and a stretcher and, you know, board and collars and stuff like that.
I always found it amazing that Gary Hart would manage a guy like Bruiser Brody because Bruiser Brody was pretty good on the mic.
You know, Bruiser Brody didn't have to be, too, and I think he played his character pretty good. And I mean, we've talked about Bruiser Brody a million times on the show.
Of course.
Tonight is the 32nd anniversary of his passing, tragically passing away.
Yes,
I can't begin to – I mean, when you think about the impact he had at that time, and he was just about to come into a new era of wrestling, if you guys think about it, you know. It already switched over in terms of Hogan and you know, WWF and Vince was cherry picking all the territories, but then, you know, the territories still had prominent guys, you know, and he was passing through Texas and he went through Mid South and Puerto Rico and of course obviously Japan's where he made most of his money at that point. But like he was like the ultimate indie guy. If you think about it, like he made his own rules. He
was a journeyman.
Yeah, and he basically demanded. He got everything he demanded. You know what I'm saying? If he walked into a territory and was like, "Yo, I'm here for 3 weeks. I want this, this, and this." And you're going to give me that. And he got it, you know. And then the guy was so smart. He lived on, you know, cans of tuna fish and sent all his money home, you know. And he was such a good dude. And his wife still puts him over as of today, you know, on social media.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's one of our favorites, man. He's one of our favorites all time.
It was one of the best wrestling books I ever read was, I believe it was from Barbara. I want to say his wife, Barbara, was the one that wrote the book.
Yeah, we.
You know, I think Meltzer had a hand. I know.
Well, Emerson Murray wrote the book. We interviewed the guy who wrote the book of Barbara. So,
okay, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So if you go back into the archives, I think it's called Galactus Brody. I think is the name of the episode. But definitely check that out. Dave and I interviewed the guy, and he was so cool. And Dave had the book, and I read the book in like 2 days. And I don't read like that. It takes me a minute. Even whenever I have a graphic novel comic book, it takes me a couple of weeks. I like to pace it out, you know. And I read that book in 2 days, and it was just excerpts from different people. It was fascinating, man.
Hey, Philly.
Yo.
Guess who's in the room? Mr. Sonny Ono saying hi to us.
Hey, Sonny Ono, how are you, sir?
Oh, Sonny Ono.
Hey, Sonny, how are you, my friend?
The
innovator of the selfie.
Another guest of the show we have to get back on. Sonny, hit me up, man. We got to get you back on the podcast for sure.
Absolutely, man. I love Sonny Ono.
Yeah, Sonny Ono is the man. So, I got an impromptu visit from Mr. Jay today, right?
Oh, Lord.
Jay calls me up. He's like, yo, I'm in the neighborhood. Can I stop by? I'm like, yes. Yeah. So I give him the address because he hasn't been to the new place yet. He goes, all right, come. So he comes over. I thought he was coming in. He goes, come outside. So I come outside, and he's fucking, there's a fucking motorcycle parked in front of my apartment. So I'm like, dude, you ride? And he goes, no. I mean, you know, you got a fucking motorcycle in front of my apartment. He goes, well, you know, I don't normally. I'm like, you have a fucking motorcycle. You ride, you know?
Jay doesn't ride. He gets ridden. Get out of here.
So he goes, I'm like, oh, man. And then I'm telling him the story I told Chompy about the keyboard and the keyboard and the mouse breaking. So after Jay leaves, the keyboard comes, and that keyboard is fucking broken. It doesn't work.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so now Fallon's like, all right, off the fucking Best Buy, you know? So what a champ she was, and she's like, just fucking do it, man. She says, here's my contribution to the podcast. And I was like, all right, thank you. And I got a Logitech.
Thank you, Fallon.
So I'm going to bring that back on Monday to Micro Center, and we're good to go. And I was just like, technology, I read all the fucking instructions, I do everything right, and it still fucking fails me. And I'm like, why, God, why are you doing this to me for? Maybe you don't want me to have, maybe they don't want me to have a podcast anymore. I don't know what the hell it is.
Listen, things happen with the turnbuckle throwbacks. Shit hits the fan, and guess what happens? It's going to be
overcome. Yeah, so, I was actually at Best Buy before too. We actually had to, we got a few things. We got our son an Xbox, so we were putting the TV in
him. Another one?
Which she had, yeah. So we put, no, this is the one I was telling you guys back a few weeks ago or whatever.
Okay,
so we're finally getting around to put the TV. It's a 60, a monster smart TV. And I said that, I was like, this has been hanging out in your closet for how long? Like, we're not watching this one. So is my internet out? Oh, I thought my internet was out for a second.
Sound like your internet was out.
Yeah, you sound like dog shit. Now you sound really good.
Yeah, it said my internet's unstable.
Oh boy, at least everything else is working.
Check that out.
Unstable J cop. I'm really
unstable J. Unstable J. You know, if a early front runner for the name of the episode tonight. Yeah, so I got to tell him. What's that, Chop?
What happened?
Did you going to say something? I thought you were going
to
say something.
Yeah, I forgot to ask. Since we were on the Brody topic, Mr. Georgie, Uptown Georgie, messaged me. And he was wondering if they were ever to do a biopic film about Brody, which I think could happen one day because they're talking about doing a Hulk Hogan movie with Chris Hemsworth playing Hogan. He was thinking, who do you think would be able to play Brody?
Luchasaurus.
Besides the wrestler.
That'd be Taber's guest.
Yeah, it'd be Taber's guest. I don't know, man.
Incredible actor.
I'd have to think about that, man. Because first of all, Bruce Brody wasn't a small dude.
He was not. He was 6'7".
He was fucking massive. Yes. Yeah. You got to get a guy.
I got it already. Who's Aquaman?
Oh, Momoa.
Jason Momoa? Wow.
That's not a bad pick.
Jason's pretty. Yeah. He's small though,
No, he's tall, dude. I took a picture of him. He's 6'5".
There you go.
That's right.
He's a big man.
Hey, Chop, you met him at the gimmick, right?
Yes, I did. I met him at the Nassau Coliseum at the Ace Comic Con.
That's right.
Ah, yeah. Then, I mean, he's already got the Shine Wizards. Kevin just said Will Ferrell. That'd be a good.
That's pretty funny. Jason Momoa, huh?
Sonny is Sonny in chat.
Yeah, I think Momoa can pull it off.
What's that, Chop?
Sonny Ono is saying, hey, next week on July 22nd, I'm bringing Tokyo Josh event live from Tokyo on Fight TV, then DDT from Tokyo on July 23rd.
That's got to be the Tokyo Joshi then. Oh, shit. Okay.
Thanks, man. Thanks, right. Sonny.
Nice, Sonny. You got to call in and start plugging this shit, man.
Yeah, call it in. Yeah. Call in and then plug it in. Plug it, man.
Absolutely.
So what do you think, guys? So you said Momoa?
Yeah.
I know I was actually Georgie had a pretty good concept. I mean a pretty good choice. He said Gerard Butler, I think it was.
What?
Oh, it's not a bad one either. That's actually a really good choice.
Problem is that Georgie said that he's very short. He's like 5'10" or 5'11", but with the magic of Hollywood and cameras, we could, and the power of an Apple box, we can make him look 6'7" on screen.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Power of CGI, my friend.
Power of CGI. I'm not mad at that at all.
Dude, I would love to see a Brody movie.
Who would play Gary Hart?
Gary Hart? Ooh. I got the perfect choice. I'll tell you who's going to be Gary Hart.
Who's that? You?
I'm kidding. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, and in topic, do you do it from the
we're losing you, Jay.
Life? Do you take the perspective? I think you could take it. Oh my God, stupid internet!
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Like
man.
You could do it from a few different perspectives.
I got somebody in the chat room just said Georgie just said Paul Giamatti as Gary Hart.
Wow,
that's good. That's
what
really
about
good.
The dude who played Obadiah Stane in the Iron Man movie?
Who?
The guy who played Obadiah in the first Iron Man.
Fuck! He's such a good actor too. What's his name?
That guy.
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Yeah, he could play Gary Hart.
You know, you gotta have
some sass with that bald head.
You could, yeah.
Bruce Willis can do it too.
Well, who's gonna play Tony Atlas now?
Who's gonna play Tony Atlas? Could play Tony Atlas. He still looks
no.
Good. He still looks good.
He's dumb as dog shit. Get out of here. No.
Who's gonna play awful Carlos Colon?
Who?
Who's gonna play Carlos Colon?
Who's gonna play the murderer?
Yeah,
George Romero.
Well, that's what you got. That's the more important.
And any fucking savage with a mask can do that though.
That's true. Who would play Abby? Who's going to play Abby in that
Who's
one?
Who's going to play Abby? Ooh.
That's a big man.
That's a big boy. Someone made a custom Abby on one of the Facebook pages. Oh, it was beautiful. With tits and all.
Great.
No, Chop, it's really good. I got to show you the picture. He had one of those 3D printers and printed out a fucking mold. And did it. It's beautiful. It's actually cartoonish. And he did a Gorilla Monsoon one, too. It's fucking beautiful.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, one more character. Who would play Stan the Man Hansen?
Stan Hansen. Oh.
Lariat.
The Unsinkable Battleship. I was telling Jay, I backed up all my New Japan shit today.
Yeah.
I found my Dynamite Kid. I have so much stuff that I found when I moved, man.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Yeah, we have so much footage for the next couple of months for different things. I'm so excited. I got the Dynamite Kid stuff. I got the Brody set. I got the Hanson set. I got the Kobashi final tour from 13. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know who would play Abby, man. I don't even know.
Is there somebody that big to play Abby?
I mean, there's always
CGI and create somebody.
Nah, you could do like a football player or something like that, some big lineman, and give him tits and, you know, give him like CGI titties and you know, you can give him CGI titties.
Oh, you know who would have been perfect? Fucking Tony Atlas if he was alive.
Tony Atlas could play Tony Atlas.
No, fuck him. How about, what about Michael Clark Duncan when he played King?
Oh, that's, yeah. Massive,
but bro. he's not obese. He's just a fucking diesel.
Exactly. Michael Clark Duncan is more diesel than fucking Tony Atlas, and he's smarter than Tony Atlas.
I got to get my cellophone.
I got to get my cellular phone.
A cellophone. Look, I said, don't worry, Frank. I'll get you to the hospital. No, let me ask no problem.
Let me ask you. Who's dumber, Tony Atlas or Kamala?
Oh, Tony Atlas.
When you got a lot of money, Don Marie. look at here, motherfucker. I got no feet, you know? Y'all taking my monies over here.
Could you believe that motherfucker had a nice little program with Undertaker and he only got like 3 G's for that shit?
I got no money, Don Marie. Remember he yelled at Don Marie for that? She was starting some kind of fucking GoFundMe for animals. Why don't you start one for me, Don Marie? I got no feet, motherfucker. look at here. I said
he had a hell of a singing career though, Kamala.
He sounded like fucking Foghorn Leghorn. I said, son. I said, boy, you're as sharp as a bag of wet mice.
Kamala was awful. I was never a fan of Kamala.
I like Kamala.
No, I'm sure you do.
Okay, awful. Terrific.
I love
Kamala. Well, like you said, speaking of CGI, isn't that how they're going to do the eye for the eye match? Like
we'll get into
how do you do an eye for an eye?
We'll get into
great
that in a little
segue.
While.
Great segue.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
No, hold the phone.
Slamming it right in.
We got some presents from the Mandingos I picked up last week. I'm going to
hey, please, share.
Here's a macho man for the studio. Yeah.
Oh, that's a beauty.
And then, of course, I'm going to actually, my first project, I'm going to repaint him.
Oh.
Cameraman Zoom.
Look.
I respect you, Jinmin. You're intelligent Jew businessman.
That's fantastic.
And then he's going to say,
then fuck his ass. Make him humble.
Yeah.
Make him humble. Yes.
Yeah, so thank you, guys. I'm actually going to, I want to repaint him. I saw a picture online of when he, with the original WWF title, some, like the green one that he beat Backlund.
I just
watched that match, man, like a day ago. Holy shit, man. Arnold Skolin was like, he threw the towel in way too quick. If I was Bob Backlund, he threw that towel in quicker than Taz did the other night on AEW. We'll talk about that too in a minute. I'll tell you what, man, if I was Sheiky Baby, I would fuck his ass and make him humble. Arnold Skolin totally dropped the ball on that, man. He totally dropped the ball on that.
But you want to know something? Bobby Backlund got him back about 10 years later when he put Arnold Skolin in the crossface in 94.
I remember my friend Kenny being at the Garden when Diesel beat him in 9 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm at my boy Jay's house, and he called us from a payphone. Well, I was at Jay's house. He's like, guys, Diesel just won the world title in 9 seconds. I was like, what? He beat Bob Backlund in 9. I was like, this is fucking terrible.
does anybody know the story why he got beat like that? Like,
well, because he was 50 years old and National was 30 years old.
Well,
that's one of the reasons.
Definitely a transitional champ because there was no, cause it was just a pop-up rating, if I'm not mistaken.
It had to be, Jay, because you know what? How can you justify in the mid-90s Bob Backlund being champion for that long?
I justify it because his character was on point.
His parody. I was just going to say, I didn't know, like I said,
point,
I'm,
dude.
I'm 7-8 years old at this point. I don't know who the fuck he
that's
is.
That's why.
And you know what? Honestly, I hated him because, like I said, he was attacking Bret Hart at the time.
Right, but again,
I actually enjoyed him.
The way they were booking back then, it wouldn't have made sense. It wouldn't have made sense to keep him around that long. When you're 8 years old, of course you fucking hate him because you're 8 years old. You want Bret Hart to win. No shit.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, think about the booking back then, Chop. Think about the booking because he would never have been champion for that long. He was definitely a transitional champion. I have to agree with you 110%.
Right, for sure.
So, any hoot. What else is going on?
any hoot.
What else is going on? Anything else before we get into the news that you can use?
No.
No, other than my motorcycle. That's pretty much it.
Oh, no. Jay, you ride? No. You mean you don't? No.
don't know.
5 days in.
You fucking.
No, I've ridden in the past, but
what, a tricycle?
Maybe a bicycle.
It's like it's.
I watched a few.
It's like me walking into a gym and saying to someone, "Hey, you work out?" No, I'm just here to fucking. I'm just here to eat. I'm just here to eat protein bars. Fucking dildo.
No, I've always wanted to. Right, I ended up buying a motorcycle 2 years ago, and it just became. It was a drawn out process. Engine in, engine out, and you couldn't find the right thing. Finally, got a brand new engine, and finally working. And this week has been riding it, and I got a hilarious story. I go to the gas station.
Oh, please tell. And, please tell.
Right before I go to Phil, I go to the gas station, and I'm just moving it up. Tabor's behind me. You know, I'm trying to show off for the chick, you know, trying to see what's going to go on. Maybe something can happen later. We'll see what happens. So I'm revving it. Next thing you know, I go to make a turn, drop the bike right on the ground, going 2 miles an hour.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry. I have to step out just for 5 minutes. I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Little situation.
And, So thankfully this guy came running out from the store, from the gas station store, helped me lift the bike up. The bike is tremendously fast and tremendously fucking heavy. So
no shit.
So thankfully I popped my cherry. I did nothing was damaged. I more or less placed it than dropped it per se. But so I can at least say now I've dropped the bike.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it looked fast, man. I think, like, see, I rode a few motorcycles. Oh. I'm afraid of them, dude. And my cousin Brian's been trying to get me to get one for years. He's like, you gotta get a fucking bike, man. You gotta get a bike. And he's got like a 70 something Harley. Like, they intimidate me.
At least, this is how I substantiate it. Like, I'm going in with the right mindset of like, yo, this machine is fast. Like, I'm treating this thing with respect, and obviously, like I said, I could just literally just drop it at the drop of a hat. So, you know, even on the road or whatever, I'm not going fast. I mean, I went 50, and that's fast enough for me. You know, like, so I'm just enjoying the ride, the feeling. No music. To ride anywhere without music and or a podcast is just absurd. And I've done it the whole week. On it, no music, no nothing. So it really is. It's a great feeling to be out there. So anybody that doesn't ride, take your classes like I did 2 years ago, and then wait 2 years and then just start riding like I did. So
yeah, everybody, there's a few people that I see, like when I first meet them, like, you know, you look like the kind of person that would have a motorcycle. I'm like, yeah, really? Why? Because I'm fat and bald and I had facial hair at one point. Is that a prerequisite? Because Jay's skinny and has facial hair, and now he has the fucking luscious locks.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know, man. Like, they look really nice on TV and up close. I'm just afraid to get on one, man. I wrote on the back of
Yeah. Twitter, no, know? it's a healthy fear. It's almost like a personal. Like, you know, listen, I'm in charge of this machine. Like, obviously, you got to deal with 98% of jerk offs on the street, especially in the city streets.
Staten Island.
You know, Staten Island, I've had close calls, but you can see it happening. But, you know, it's almost like it's like a battle. I'm brand new at it, so, but I thoroughly enjoy it. So, like, even like after, like, I took the long way home from your house before. So,
quick story. I was my first trip to Maryland. I was my hotel was right outside Baltimore, so me and a friend are gonna jump in a cab and go to the game to Canyon. We were drinking, and we didn't want to drive. So I don't know if you're familiar with Maryland. It's got the roads are called the Inner Loop and the Outer Loop, and it's called the Beltway. The Beltway goes from like Maryland to DC, you know, like that. That's what they call it. when the Nationals play in Baltimore. It's like the Battle of the Beltway, they call it. So I'm in the loop in a cab going to Camden Yards. I'm about 20 miles away from. I'm not very far at all, and I'm already pregaming. I'm in the back. I'm fucking chugging. I'm not supposed to be, but you know, it is what it is. I'm on vacation, right? And I see two dudes on those rice burners, those Kawasaki katana looking gimmicks, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, and they're doing like figure eights in and out of traffic with the flow of traffic, not speeding. But doing like pirouettes and shit. It was insane. So they're doing these figure eights. I'm looking at my buddy. I'm like, that dude's gonna crash. Like, I, you know, being an EMT, sometimes I can see. I'm not psychic, but when you're in an ambulance and you're driving, or you're driving, period, and you're an EMT, you can almost see shit happen before it happens. Yeah. So I'm like,
hypervigilance.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, man, that dude's gonna crash. He's like, nah. Look at him. He's talented. Like, he's got skills. I'm like, nah, he's got nothing. Sure as shit. Him and his boy go to cross again to make that figure eight, and he clips the back of the kid. The kid goes flying into a divider, and his bike was under a truck. And
oh.
But thank God I was three cars ahead already at that point, and I heard, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh man, I was like, that's gonna suck. Oh man, I was praying for that kid. I was hoping he was all right, but
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Like, you know, like, I had a pickup truck before. It's like, you know, Phil, like, and I've been told on a number of occasions, like, man, you don't seem like a guy that would drive that truck. Like, I think people have this, like,
on Staten stereotype. Before you go any further, I had a conversation with one of your family members one day, and I said to her, I'm like, what the fuck is up with this side of the Staten Island and everybody has a pickup truck? Well, Jay has one too, and I'm like, yeah, Jay has one too, and Jay has no fucking use for it. Like, you don't do contracting. You help people, which is God bless you. But like, every Guido and every degenerate on Staten Island on the South Shore has a pickup truck. I can't even shop in a supermarket over here on a Sunday because every idiot, and even the soccer mom's like, I'm gonna take Vinny's truck to the ShopRite. And the entire parking lot is covered in fucking pickup trucks. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people? You know?
Yeah, but it's like everybody expects you to run stop signs and
yeah,
you know, speed and whatever. And like me, anybody that's driven with me, Phil, you know, like I drive the speed limit,
yeah,
maybe
no, you,
2 miles
you,
an hour above. Just, like
just,
I'm, just as good I'm in as no rush anywhere in my life. So it's even the same thing with the motorcycle, like. You know, I'm at a stop sign. I'm letting people go because then it's also like I have this weird thing, which is hilarious. Like, you know, I don't want an audience watching me, which is probably why I dropped the fucking bike before. I was like, so many people around me watching me.
100%.
I had the queen behind me. I just literally just nosedive right down to the ground.
It's insane.
I laugh now, but it's funny because David sees me like, so we're driving to go get pizza and I'm driving and all of a sudden you can just see my head just going like this, unbelievable, just shaking my head and all, like reliving it. But like I said, at the end of the day, the way I look at it with like with everything, as long as I take care of my area, if I do the right thing, you know, and like you said, you have that hypervigilance, like where I can, like driving a truck, you know, especially in Manhattan, I can see blocks ahead, see,
yep.
I can see something happen.
100%, 100%.
I'm just transferring that to the bike.
Dude, when I drive, I am right lane Blaine, bro. I don't fuck with none of that stuff. Even I'm not even afraid of me. I'm afraid of the jerk off next to me in the fucking pickup truck blasting his fucking freestyle music, right? Going Costco to get 400 fucking cases of toilet paper, you know?
Yeah.
That's who I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of me because I'm a pretty good driver in terms of that. But like I learned all my trauma on the Queens Brooklyn border of it's called the Jackie Robinson Parkway. Now it's called it was called the Interborough, and this was a stretch of road. At one point, it was the most dangerous road in the country, and it splits Brooklyn and Queens. And I'm telling you, dude, and they have this one thing called Snake Hill. And it's all curves. And if you don't know how to drive that roadway and you're doing more than 40, you make a wrong turn, and then the road is not your friend that day, whether it's the weather, whether it's your ball tires or some jerk-off driving next to you who can't drive, you're done. I peeled bodies off dividers. That's how bad that place was, you know? So for me, it's like, and then being a first responder and seeing that shit is, but being a driver or being a passenger is even worse because now I see the shit. I could be sitting in the car every weekend when I go to Jersey. I'm like, oh, job security. I did it with you in your car.
Yeah,
I would point.
Job security,
because they keep me in work. They keep me employed. You know. So yeah. I don't want to go into any of the news until Dickface comes back. I don't know what the hell he's doing. It's probably a
Taves is in the room. Meanwhile, she's 7 feet from me. She said, Jackie Robinson Expressway is crazy. Twist and turny.
Correct.
Twisty and turny.
And if she ever worked trauma in an emergency room in that area, she'd be getting a lot of work from us because that's what, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Jamaica Hospital, Elmhurst Hospital, Brookdale, they all got those old trauma centers. I'm like, man, I said, it's insane, dude. It's insane. Mm-hmm. I saw the one guy who had a motorcycle accident. I literally had a, like I said, I peeled him off the divider. Like one of them, I don't know if you're not that old, but we used to have these play sets called Color Forms, and they would like their play sets, and you would, and they're like little vinyl characters, and you peel them on, you put them on his place on a board, and they were different.
Oh, yeah.
And I had like Super Friends and whatever the theme of the month was. And I peeled this dude off the divider like Color Forms, like I was playing with a toy. It was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So,
but yeah, like you said, to me, it's something. Like I told my sister, it's a quarter life crisis, or probably my lifespan, a half life crisis. But you know, like I said, it's something to do. Something I always wanted to do, and I'm finally just coming around to it, which is, you know. But life's all about.
Yeah, my midlife.
At the end of the day, you know.
Yeah, my midlife crisis. The older I get, the bigger the TV I want now. Seriously, I got a 70-inch in here. I got a fucking 55-inch in my bedroom. If I had my way, I'd have the entire wall covered in just one screen. People are like, you have your TV.
Yeah.
You have your TV too high. Who gives a shit? You ain't here watching TV. I am.
Yeah. Like I said, we just hooked up a 60-inch at Tabor's.
Yeah.
Man, I was like, I can't believe you've had this in your closet for 2 years. What the hell is this doing in here?
Women don't give a shit. They have no use for that stuff, man. They're like, they don't care. Guys, like, what are you nuts? Like, what are you crazy? I remember someone, the person who gave me, I have an Andre the Giant mug from 1985. It's literally the size of his hand. It's huge. I'll show it to you after.
Oh, shit.
Right? And it's original. It's in pristine condition. I have it in my room. I display it in my bedroom. And the person who gave it to me, I'm like, where was this? And she was like, it was in my closet, my dad's closet. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, you had this in your closet for 30 years? What do you get I display that shit, man. What's wrong with you? But it's, yeah. We value shit way worse than girls do, man. It's insane. It's
well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, if it was up to her, like, you know, it'd be showing 90 Day Fiance on an endless loop, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's bad. So. It's bad, man. I'm at a friend's house last night after work, and they're watching. Apparently, the guys from Jersey Shore have like a prank show, and and I said, the Jersey Shore is still a thing. And they're like, yeah. And it was on MTV. I'm like, does MTV even play fucking videos? And the one girl who just turned 30 years old looked at me and said, videos? I'm like, yeah, music television. That's what MTV stands for, music television. They don't play videos no more? And she was like, videos? I'm like, yeah, you know, music videos? So then my boy was like,
supposed to be.
Yeah, so Fallon's brother was like, yeah, dude, they play them in the morning. I'm like, yeah, when? Like 4:30 in the morning? Before, you know what I'm saying? I was like, this is what society's come to, man. It's all fucking reality shows. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
And I watch.
I'm not gonna lie. What? You know, she'll watch 90 Day Fiance. Like, I'll watch it. I'll start like cutting promos on it, and then like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I can't believe she's falling for this guy. Like, and then like I'm just hooked in. At that point, I'm just hooked in.
Yeah, I got this. I don't have cable where I live, so I'm streaming stuff. So I have this internet TV package that I pay for, right? It's like $10 a month or whatever it is. My brother-in-law hit me to it. And one of the things is they have these 24/7 channels. So it's a continuous loop of something, like 24/7 of Dallas, 24/7 of the Flintstones, 24/7 of...
Yeah, I remember you were saying something about
Big Bang Theory, right? So now it's like, okay, so now you do that, and then they have a 24/7 Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, boy. Can I tell you the fun that I'm having with that? It's just mindless. It's mindless, dude. Absolutely mindless. And I was having I'm having a great time listening to that while I'm going to sleep. It's like my sleep music, you know?
I know.
But I can't. The older I get, man, the more grouchier I get when it comes to television. I have no use for this shit, man. I was telling Fanny, and I'm like, yo, man. this is just bad. Like, there's nothing on TV. So now we're looking for internet TV packages. And she was like, well, as long as it has TNT, I'm good. I'm like, why? Because AEW is on. Oh, okay. There you go. Priorities. And as long as we have USA, we'll have Raw. I'm like, okay. And we have Fox for SmackDown. I'm like, look at you being all proactive. But yeah, man, I have no use for tell. I sat there last night. I feel like I was my brain cells were dying. The more I watched some of the shows, it was just terrible.
Well, it was funny because like the last two, I want to say the two nights we were trying to watch a 2020 special on Jeffrey Epstein.
And, oh yeah,
literally second night. I think last night we watched like a good 45 minutes of it, and then once I passed that at least. I don't know if she finished watching. She's nodding her head no. She's saying no too. So. She keeps saying, she goes, can we at least finish watching something? I'm like, sure. If we're not in bed, I'm sleeping.
I'll watch a documentary on anything. I love documentaries.
Oh, so
do
I.
I'm a documentary guy. As Choppy returns to the scene, are we good? Everything's good?
So far, so good. We were having issues with the baby. He wasn't going down for a nap or for the rest of the night. I think he's going through a growth spurt. That's why he keeps crying.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Is he all right?
So what documentaries are we talking about?
We were just hoping in general, like how terrible TV is.
Well, I'll put it like this. TV is terrible whatever channel you go to right now, because everything is based on reality TV nowadays, if you think about it.
That's what we were saying.
And even like what's on TV most of the time? Cop dramas again, hospital dramas, you know?
Yeah, just like so. I live that shit. I don't want to fucking watch it on TV.
Yeah, we don't want to watch that shit all the time anyway.
Chicago Fire, Chicago this, your sister this, Law and Order, SVU. How many fucking shows can you have?
And by the way, they're coming out with another Law and Order again.
Hashtag.
Oh, it's not canceled all of a sudden? I thought it was going to be canceled.
No, they're not going to be canceled. That show makes too much money. Too much money.
Yeah.
Hashtag nobody cares, man. Yeah, how many fucking cop shows? How many fireman shows? How many? I don't even know, man.
Now, in terms of documentaries, I'm a huge documentary.
Yeah, me too.
Love them.
Anything, right? It doesn't matter what the cop topic is. If it's because it you know, I like stuff that I don't know about. I like knowing. Like there was recently I read. I didn't know up until about, I don't know, there's a couple of things I didn't know about World War II. Good example, right?
Yeah.
And they're always digging shit about World War II, like constantly. And I'm like, I just learned something new. I didn't know. So, all right. So listen, Chop, you're back. Jay, you're back. I have to go to the bathroom real quick. So get into the news. Right. Get into the news, and I'll just jump in when I get back. Give me.
Sure. As of right now, Shaylin's just saying it too. I just turned it on. It's Matt Riddle against AJ Styles for the IC title.
Let's keep an eye on that if we could. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I got it on in the background.
I'll be right back.
So. Going with what? Do you want to talk about AEW?
Yeah, I just literally just got done watching AEW before the show started, and Taber's new favorite wrestler is Luchasaurus.
Wow! And
I don't know. I think it's a mixture of the story, the costume, and the moveset, and probably the body. Knowing her, she's a body chick.
I could tell just by looking at you, she's a body chick. Absolutely.
She's a body chick.
So
yeah, she's got a thing for the body.
I was really impressed with the way they're progressing the stories with the Elite and FTR.
Absolutely.
I think they're doing a fantastic job with that. I think that what they're doing is right on the money because you like both teams are very, very good. What I mean by both teams, I'm talking about the Bucks and FTR, but we also can't forget about Kenny Omega and Adam Hangman Page.
Yeah.
I still predict the Four Horsemen faction happening soon.
And it's funny because they did allude to the fact that Tully was watching FTR,
yep.
during the match and everything. So I think they're just planting a small seed. Perhaps in the back of our mind, and I'm saying the same thing too. Like we've been saying for a long time about the heel turn for Kenny Omega. I think it's a red herring. I think what's going to happen now
I think you're right.
I think it's definitely going to be an FTR heel turn.
I think
coming in.
FTR are born fucking heels. That's what they are. They're just a great
Absolutely.
Heel tag team. And What better way to have a great heel tag team but to have two other singular wrestlers that are great heels as well? I've seen Adam Hangman Page as a heel in Ring of Honor, and he's great as a heel.
Yeah.
And Cody is also I think Cody's a much better heel than he is a babyface. I think I can't stand babyface Cody Rhodes.
It's starting to lose its luster a little bit. You know, Cody, it was a great match with him and Sonny Kiss. And
yes, it was really good.
I'm thankful Sonny Kiss finally got some TV time. Although I do have the team with him and Janela. I'm a big fan of that, but that was a great match. It was a great opening match for the, you know. I think that the entrance for Sonny Kiss was a little run out,
yeah.
But you know, it fits who you know the character and how he is. But I love the match. I even love the fact that he did Cody Rhodes' Crossroads, you know. And like I said, Cody Rhodes putting him over. You know, even in a loss, he still got over.
Yeah, but you could tell the cheesiness is coming off a lot on Cody Rhodes.
And once again, future saying is going to be, it's going to come, and it's going to be going to Tully type thing, where I think it's going to be a Tully against Arn thing, unless they join the forces. You know,
I think they're going to have. I think they'll have Tully and Arn as like the managerial part of the team, and then you'll have. I think Tully's going to drop Shawn Spears.
I think so too.
And then I think he's going to pick up. I still think to this day that I think it's going to be Adam Page, FTR, and Cody Rhodes as a new Four Horsemen. Hands down.
That's a bold statement. I
think it's going to be good.
What I miss? What are we doing? AEW?
We're just doing AEW. Okay. Yeah.
Carry on.
And then I was really impressed with the way they're progressing the storylines with Orange Cassidy and Jericho.
Yes. Oh. I really liked it. I had to show Taba Orange Cassidy. She's like, what is this?
This is great.
Just the King of Sloth style. And like you said, he's somebody that is super over. And I'm kind of glad that they're going to keep it going. You know.
I agree.
Ortiz with a little overselling of the orange juice a la, you know, Vince McMahon.
Yes, you know, with the beer
bath. Yeah. But overall, I thought that was a great segment. I really did. I really enjoyed it.
At the beginning of the segment, they were Jericho was coming off as a little bit of a baby face at the very beginning of the promo, and then he switched it up just like that. And yeah. Is it just me, or is Jericho using the words piece of shit a little too often on the show?
Yeah, because I think he knows he can get away with it. And I like the fact that I read that they purposely kept Orange Cassidy at bay for the last couple of months in terms of skill-wise. So they can
of course. Start,
right. And it's I think genius. That I think if that's the truth, that is a genius move.
It is.
And you know, his alter ego was an insane luchador type character in Chikara. So he was an ant.
He was
Fire Ant.
So, oh, he was Fire Ant.
Yeah, he was an ant. So like those guys were insane. They were like they were like lucha almost, you know. And they primarily wrestled tags and stuff like that. But you know, when you see this dynamic, and yeah, Choppy's right. He did a lot of the foul language, like because I think he can get away with it. Yeah. They use the word shit a lot, actually, which is fine.
Taz uses it, too.
Yeah, shit is fine, but what I just want to say is that Jericho uses it way too often, and I feel like it's cheap heat.
Well, yeah, it definitely is, and I think he's trying a little too hard. If we're going to nitpick this segment right now, what we're doing, if you would ask me what was wrong with it, that's the only thing I would find wrong with it. I think he's just trying way too hard to put his guy over.
But you want to know something? It's very hard. In Jericho's case, he's a to me, it's a bold. This is probably going to be something very bold that I'm going to say. He's the Ric Flair of our era right now in terms of trying to make guys. You know,
I can agree with that.
That's a fair assessment.
Remember when Flair was it was into his 40s and people were still fucking cheering him no matter what he did. He did his damnedest to make sure the fucking guy that he was the babyface that he was trying to put over was a superstar. So. That's what Jericho's doing. Jericho's getting cheered no matter what he fucking does because he's that entertaining.
Yeah, I'm not mad at
that. And then Orange Cassidy is the next guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, and he's even doing the same thing with, you know, I always want to call him EYFBO, Santana Ortiz and Jake Hager, like, he's establishing these guys, and you got to say Sammy Guevara as well, the suspended Sammy Guevara, and but he's trying to create guys around him, and everybody that he's wrestled, to the Jungle Boy, you know, tried to make him look better. Even though Jericho wins it in the end, like, it's still a win in some respects for the opposing talent. And like I said, Orange Cassidy after last week, you know, was great. Like, and if he wasn't established that, you know, before that, he's absolutely established now as maybe not a tippy top guy, you know, maybe not going for a championship, but he may not. It's that proverbial. He doesn't really need a belt per se as of right now, I don't think.
Nah, it's nice what they're doing. I just wish we had an audience, because some of this stuff is really cringeworthy to watch when there's no audience. And we were
talking about FTR before. That's something that's missing right now, is the live crowd with the reactions with the Omegas, and, you know, and the Young Bucks coming out, and, you know, even the match in itself, the match was a really good match, them against the Lucha Brothers. And what was missing was just crowd reaction, you know, plain and simple.
Yeah,
some sort of crowd to feed upon.
Yeah, man, I think. And listen, give a credit to these guys and girls coming out here every week on all three programs. These guys are ridiculous. They come out. These guys and girls. They come out and they're just doing their thing, with no regard. There was and like I was watching. We don't eat AEW yet, because I was going to go around to NXT for a second.
Wait, yeah, go to NXT.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I want to talk about was the championship match. And
Yeah.
Phil's favorite wrestler, John Moxley, COVID free, COVID negative.
I'm calling you out, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
California versus Illinois, whatever the fuck that Ambrose is from.
Illinois, he says.
I think it's Ohio, Cincinnati.
Whatever. Same shit hole, who cares?
but I loved that match. I really thought that was a good match. You know, towards the end, I guess that's the way to end the match. You could tell that, and they sold it that way, where it's like Taz is in, you know, protecting his investment. But what I didn't like was that, you know, and once again, just nitpicking, was like Brian Cage wasn't selling the arm. He was in the goddamn hold for 2-3 minutes, and then he's throwing punches with the same arm.
Listen,
2 seconds later,
Brian Cage is the machine, the pain. Don't you know? Hey.
Yeah, and I think Brian Cage is Taylor's second favorite wrestler, and for obvious reasons.
Is it because of the body?
She's a body gal. That's
yeah,
what
exactly. I can tell just by you. She's definitely a body gal. Absolutely. So, Philly, NXT, what did you think?
Oh, and Vicky Guerrero as Nyla Rose's manager?
Yes, yes. Oh, that's right. Big news on that. So, I don't hate that. You know, I think when you're measuring it that she's like the manager of champions, like, you know, you kind
of...
She really is. Well, she managed Edge, you know.
And she managed Dolph Ziggler. The Intercontinental Championship and United States Championships and the World Heavyweight Championship.
I stand corrected on that, chap. You're right.
We're gonna have a conversation.
He is the manager of champions.
The conversation after
this. He is the manager of champions.
But, you know, speaking of the guys and the girls with their performances, and just talk. I mean, you look at Keith Lee's promo this week, right?
It's good.
Yeah, it was good, great. But that's something that needed an audience. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's not a great talker by no means. He's a very
okay. He's not bad.
He feeds off emotion. Obviously, what's going on in the country right now, all this oppression and violence and nonsense, and he basically fed off current events, and which fueled, and then the death of his trainer, and he basically put it into a promo. And I got to tell you, man, that's how you do it. There's no script for that. Like, you know, I don't know if I can work off a script, man. You got to, like, shoot like that, man. You got to, once in a while, you got to take one for the team. Be like, you know what, I can do this. And I think NXT is a shining example of letting their guys start to do that again, or starting it up again. Because AEW is doing it now, and, you know, like, they... Listen, you want to have these college kids sit in a fucking room and write stories? Fine. You know, but now you got to let these – if listen, when you give an actor or an actress a script to read for a movie or a TV show, it's like, you know, here, read this, and if you're good for the part, you got it, right? That's how they get the part. They have to read for it, correct? Now, with wrestling, it's different. With wrestling, you're auditioning without a fucking script. You're not you have 3 minutes here, say this, or say something that leads to this. Or if you can't, we're gonna write something for you, which is that's why people hated Roman Reigns so much, because at one point he wasn't talking on his own, you know.
I wanna say I think it goes even a step further than that. I don't think not only do you not read for it, you're being told what your character's supposed to be. And if you don't get over, it's your fault. That's the picture. Examples of guys that were given shitty gimmicks and couldn't get it over, and vice versa, what have you. But you know, at the end, like for today's wrestling, where it's the last number of years, it's been going down this road of there's no spontaneity. You know, there's nothing spontaneous that's happening.
It's mediocrity at best right now. It's very mediocre.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially now, where you got no crowd to feed off of. So you should just tell a guy like Keith Lee, like, who is over already. He's already established. Give him bullet points. You know, tell him what he wants. But it's like, hey, listen, man, you got 7 minutes. You know, say this. I want you to say this, touch on this. And then everything else, have at it. Get yourself over. And I think AEW does do a little bit of that, where they just go, you know your character, we're not going to write something for you. The pay-per-view is called this, you're going to fight such and such on this date, boom, you got 3 minutes. You know, so I that's like a little bit more, but hopefully, like you were saying, Phil, this could be that chain of like the start happening where guys can get more creative, get more involved in their own characters.
Yeah. I mean, it's – I feel like it's imperative. I feel like these guys and girls have to start, you know, with no audiences and you know, with being TV the way it is now, I feel like if you're going to get the core audience invested in your character, you're going to have to start shooting from the hip. And, you know, you don't have to change your work set, your work style. You don't have to – change your move sets, you know, because that's who you are as a performer. However, if you're gonna talk and you don't have a mouthpiece, you should be able to carry yourself as such.
Yes.
Only because you know, I'm investing my time and emotion into your character every week. You know, it's like the Missouri license plate. Show me, you know, the show me,
like the show me state,
show me state, like show me the deal. Because you know what. I'm not in the demographic no more. You guys are in it. I think, well, Choppy's just out of the demographic, but Jay's still in it for a little while longer. But I'm out of that demographic, man. You ain't gotta sell me on it, man. I've been drinking that Kool-Aid for years, you know.
Yeah.
So like I'm, you know, I'm looking for more from people. I'm looking for more for these performers now because it's like, wow, I mean, there's no audience.
Well, that's where the creativity comes into play right now. You know, if you're not fucking creative. What's the fucking point of it? You know, what's the fucking point? You can have everything written out for you like a fuck on a silver platter. But you know what? It comes to a certain point where the big dogs are going to be like, hey, Keith Lee, need you to go out there. We'll give you bullet points. Do something. And then I'm pretty sure Keith Lee was like apprehensive at first. But then he was like, you know what? This is a challenge. I'm going to go with it. And look what happened. He produced magic.
Yeah. And then the reward was he gets to fight somebody he's comfortable with.
Exactly.
So like that made perfect sense. I enjoyed I'm enjoying Tegan Knox, and I don't like women's wrestling. I'm enjoying her right now. Apparently she came out on social media, good for her. But she's killing it on TV. She's been really good lately. Io Shirai is part of that power couple. We'll get into New Japan in a few minutes.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll get into that in a few minutes because I want to keep with the E for a second because we have the pay per view coming up this Sunday. But you know, there's a lot of cool things. I wish I could watch SmackDown. I have to wait until the show's over. But I've been watching Raw almost every week. And I've been watching AEW. I missed the first half hour of it, but I've been watching it on the way home. So I really don't miss it. I just don't watch it at home. But I'm watching these shows every week now, and I'm like, okay, I'm you know, I'm enjoying certain things with Raw, and I'm loving MVP right now with the whole Apollo Crews thing. I'm loving that. I'm loving not the gimmick, but I'm loving the whole dynamic with Ray Ray and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And I'm really enjoying it. I really am. And there's nice things, little nuggets of fun in that, you know. Even though again, things that need a fucking audience, hence that, you know.
Just to interrupt, AJ Styles retained.
Ooh.
Good long match. Got to be over 20 minutes that match.
So, you know, it's for me, I mean, you know, I'm not totally going to shit on everything because I'm liking some of the stuff that's going on. Half the stuff I get to turn off and put on Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives like I always do.
Yeah.
But like I'm just like, okay, I'm over at this, but I like some of the segments and it's fun. And you know, it's not getting me excited for a pay-per-view, which this was the go-home show. Only for one or two matches I'm excited for. You know, I'm actually excited for an Apollo Crews match, which is because he's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
But MVP can still go. I like MVP a lot, man. I think he's solid. And Bobby Lashley's awful. Bobby Lashley needs a mouthpiece. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. And then we're trying to recruit more black wrestlers. That was even more fun with Cedric Alexander and Ricochet. Like, no, nah, I know what you're trying to do, man. I'm not drinking your Kool-Aid, you know. And it was fun. It was fun. It's like it's old school. I was like, all right, I like this man just trying to recruit people. What is this, 1986? What is this fucking Sir Oliver Humperdinck trying to get Bam Bam Bigelow? You know, like this was cool. This is Bobby Heenan trying to get Macho Man. Remember when he was him and Freddie Blassie and
yeah.
So it's like that made me feel good a little bit. I was having a good time with that. So. It is what it is. Did you guys see Raw at all? Or you didn't see Raw.
I saw bits and pieces of it.
Bits and pieces. I was just I haven't watched Raw like consistently. You know, the last few weeks, like I've just watched, you know, comebacks on YouTube stuff I need to know, and then that's about it. You know, I like the storyline with Ray and you know, Seth Rollins. I like the whole idea of Dominic. You know, all this stuff. I just don't know how they're going to do this match.
Like, Dominic heel turn. That's how they're going
to
do
that's
it.
That's what I've been saying for weeks, that he needs to do a heel turn.
He is.
Yeah.
And I've seen him work in the ring. He's actually not bad.
Yeah, you mentioned that a few times, though, Chop. We were talking about
not
that.
Not bad.
All right, so let's get around to the pay-per-view real quick. We'll make our picks, talk about New Japan, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah.
U.S.
The
title.
Horror Show.
Yeah, the Horror Show.
The Horror
that
Show.
That is Extreme
that
Rules.
That is Extreme Rules, correct. Speaking of Apollo Crews versus MVP for the U.S. title, I don't see him losing anytime soon. He just won it on the 25th of May, so I don't know. I'm picking Crews. Who are you guys picking?
I'm picking Crews. I'm mainly because I don't want him to lose. So I agree. I want to say Crews as well.
I want to say Crews, but I was going to go MVP this round.
Well, the only thing that kind of does push, you know, push me to that side is that he's the one that, you know, unveiled the new belt, which is weird, you know.
Exactly.
But I think, you know, I think Crews is going to pull it off.
Alrighty. So we're going to go Crews then.
The eye for an eye match. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I feel a swerve. I'm taking Rollins for the win.
Me too. Rollins for the win, because he's been eating pins left and right every week.
Yeah, it has to be Seth Rollins. You know, I know Dominic is signed to WWE. I'm not sure if Ray Ray re-signed or not. But, you know, it's got to be Seth Rollins.
Either Dominic turns or he has to fend for his father, who's going to lose his eye and has to stick up for him somehow and take the blow or something. Something's going to happen where Dominic's definitely going to be involved. Whether it's a heel turn or he's forcing Ray to lose because he doesn't want Ray to be blinded or whatever the hell it is. It's a dumb storyline, but I like all the wrestlers that are involved in it, so it is what it is. I'm taking Seth Rollins for the win as well. My future baby mama, ex-baby mama, Nikki Cross, gets a title shot. Gets a title shot at Bayley. This is like a throwaway match. I don't see Nikki Cross winning. I'd love to see her win, though, with that big fat ass of hers.
Yeah.
But, and that's that delicious accent that she has. No, I don't see her winning the title, and I don't see Bayley. Bayley's on a roll right now.
Bayley's killing it right now
with that soccer mom heel fucking haircut.
Is she really though? Is she?
I think she is.
Dude. Her and Sasha are having good matches, man.
Oh, fuck them. Done.
All right, we'll stick with Sasha Banks. She's getting a Raw women's title shot against Asuka.
Asuka's going to retain, obviously.
I'm taking Sasha Banks. Oh, yeah, you guys. And Asuka, I'm taking Sasha Banks.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think it's going to there's going to be some kind of swerve or something, I think. Because she's got to break away from this team. Her and Bayley are going to be at odds again. They're BFFs, but this it's going on too long. They don't have as many women tag teams to make this relevant. You know what I'm saying? You know. All right, here's an intriguing match. Stipulation to be announced. Ziggles with his new haircut come back, and he's got against his boy Drew McIntyre for the title. Jay, how do you feel about that?
You know, you feel bad for Drew McIntyre for having this you know, quote unquote prestigious title run with essentially performing in front of nobody. You know, I don't think it's enough to get rid of the belt yet, but you know, at what point do you not give Ziggler a chance, though, too, in the same sense, you know?
Fuck him. He's done.
Shane would answer your question, who's my new baby mama? I don't have one. I'm just guessing she would be. But she has, I don't know if she's – I don't think she's tall enough to ride Space Mountain, Nikki Cross, is she?
Is she tall enough to ride the ride?
I don't know if she's tall enough to ride Space Mountain. I don't know. She might have to take that little chart that comes – when you walk in my door, there's a little chart I'm going to put up there.
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. I like him, as the champion. I like to continue to see him as a champion. So I'm going to say Drew McIntyre.
Okay, Chop.
I'm going to say MVP is going to win the WWE title.
All right, Chop, don't care.
No, Drew. I think Drew McIntyre is going to win.
All right, WWE title. This is fucking retarded. A swamp fight. It's a non-title match, by the way.
Yes.
Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt in the swamp. I think Bray has to win because there's no title up for grabs.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's going to win because there's no title being on the line. So Bray wins for sure.
Yeah.
And then it's going to make room for The Fiend to come in. You know, for SummerSlam, it'll be The Fiend against Braun Strowman.
So before we... give our predictions. Well, not predictions. But before we review the next New Japan card, which is on the 20th, let's talk about what happened at Dominion.
Yeah,
Chop Stradamus in his in his infinite wisdom.
I told you, I got signed by New Japan Pro Wrestling. Book that shit. I told you.
Meanwhile, he's sitting here doing a shitty podcast with us. We got signed by New Japan. anyway, I digress. Ring that bell. Listen. I was going the boring route with Okada, and you know, I was like, maybe Okada again with Naito. No one wants to see that. I know nobody wants to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, if Evil wins, he's got to win the fucking title. However, the swerve was him going to Bullet Club.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. And,
the Evil Club.
And then the next night he wins the fucking title with help from 50-year-old Dick Togo.
And by the way, Dick Togo looks great. He looks awesome.
Like, listen, I know New Japan is a little thin on the roster right now, but Dick Togo? This dude's 106 years old.
Well, what the fuck is Minoru Suzuki?
That's different.
Fuck you. No, get out of here.
Suzuki's ageless, dude. He's ageless.
Stop. Come on. Stop.
So apparently so is Dick Togo.
What about Gato? Gato's 100 years old.
Gato doesn't belong in the ring at all. Jado or Gato don't blow one.
Jado, definitely not Jado.
They look beat up, and they were a tag team for like 30 years. That's why.
Ugh.
But like I said, to go over with Naito, you know.
I'm telling you, man. Like, and Choppy kept saying, "Well, they're Evil's being held back. He's being held back," and I said that about Sonata. At one point, right? And I was like, I don't know, maybe they held them back. And I'm like, because they're six-man neverweight champs. So I'm assuming they do the Freebird rule, you know? I guess, because now the Evil can't, is not, Evil's not going to defend the belts with them, you know? So there's one picture of him that they just took with him holding the two belts out with the New Japan Cup in front of him.
Oh, man.
And his new gear, listen, someone made a reference to Awesome Kong, but if you see the detail in the armor in his gear, it's all rifles and bullet club. Listen, I'm waiting for the Evil Club shirt. I'm waiting for the pre-order. That's the next Bullet Club shirt I want. I want to say Evil Club. I'm telling you, man. He's so good, and he's very much reminding me of Hirooki Goto-ish, where Goto would win the cup 7,000 times but never win the title. This time, the big man who wins the fucking cup actually won the title.
I have been singing his praises for the last couple of years. I've been thinking Evil's the guy, dude.
Yeah.
I kept saying it. So,
and it's very intriguing now because, again, you don't know the state of affairs in terms of, like, you know, Gaijin and Guy, and there's a couple of Japanese wrestlers who are living in the States now, like Kenta and some other guys. So it's like everybody's out of town, so they have to work what they have. And I'm telling you, man, between the Young Lions and the guys they have now in Japan, it's and then, of course, how about Suzuki-gun winning the tag titles from Tanahashi?
Yeah, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, my boy, him and what is his face? Taichi, who I picked to win the tournament, by the way. I picked him to win the tournament. Yes,
that queero, get out of here, bro.
Dude, he got a push before COVID. He got the push. He was getting pushed, and I was like, he was. Allegedly, because we can't figure out this booking, but allegedly he was supposed to be the one taking over Suzuki-gun.
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
Well, either way, it sets up some interesting matches for the 20th. I'll get into them real quick. We don't have to make predictions. The first match is Tenkozy, which is Hiroshi Tenzan and Kojima, taking on Tsuji and Uemura. And then Gabriel Kidd, Taguchi, Hamna, and Makabe versus Chaos, which is Sho, Yoshihashi, Toriyano, and Ishii. And here we go. The big match is coming up now. LIJ, Shingo, and Sonata. Shingo had an amazing match with fucking Sho, by the way, for the Never World Weight Championship. That was a fucking good match. Sho's going to have to come correct because his boy's out for a year now, probably with that knee injury.
Yeah.
So Tagaji and Sonata taking on Suzuki-gun, which is El Desperado and Dookie. And then here we go. Chaos, Goto and Okada versus Gato and Takahashi from the Bullet Club. That's a sick team though, Goto and Okada. And Master Wato, the fucking dragon, the new dragon master, Yuji Nagata, Blue Justice baby, still kicking ass. Kota Ibushi and Tanahashi versus Suzuki-gun, which is Kanemaru, Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Taichi. And here we go. Main event time. Los Ingobernables de Japón. Takahashi the Time Bomb and Naito. And Bushi. My man Bushi. I love Bushi. Versus Evil Ishimori. That's Choppy's boy. The Bone Soldier. And Dick Togo.
Who would have thought that Dick Togo would be in a fucking Bullet Club?
He wrestles in a New Japan ring for the first time in 3 years.
Who would have predicted that Choppy would have gotten the whole tournament right? How about them apples, huh?
He said, about
Choppy would have said that.
Yeah. How about them apples, he says. How about them apples? Anything else, boys? Anything else tickling your tits before we hit the break?
Sonny got arrested again.
Oh, again?
Apparently, Sonny got arrested. I think forgot where I seen it. It might have been Rob that said it. He goes, there's three things you can count on in this life: death, taxes, and Sonny getting arrested.
I feel terrible for him, man. What a fucking disaster.
Thought she was doing well.
No, she never does well. She always does something stupid, as always.
Damn, man.
Poor Sonny.
And then, apparently, you know, Rusev has his own YouTube channel, right?
He's got the Rona, too.
Yes, he announced on YouTube that he has the Rona.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, poor Rusev. He should go to fucking Impact or something.
Poor Miro.
Poor Miro.
His name is Miro now.
Hello, my name is Miro.
You call him Yuli.
Yeah, we got the Yulis outside, the fucking...
Yuli!
Yeah, the Albanian fucking mafia outside my apartment right now. So, anyway, Anything else before we take a quick break?
No, that's it.
All right, kids. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Whoever's in the chat room, whoever's putting up with our nonsense. We'll be right back, guys. And I'm going to plug all our friends. You can mute your microphones, and we'll be right back. You'll listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on The Rant.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All the moments lost in time, like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Ed Zola listening to Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. How you doing?
Buddies, what's up, Jay? You're laughing.
That is some good music. You forget how good that music is as soon as you put it on. You're like, you know what? God, this is like that's up there with like the WrestleMania, the old the WrestleMania theme.
Linda McMahon.
Watch out! You might get a YouTube strike after this.
Yeah,
hold on! Don't say too many bars.
Yeah, eat a dick. I'm waiting for them to do the Give Me the Bruiser Brody thing because it's basically Led Zeppelin sped up. You know.
But yeah. Yeah.
Will and I did a podcast about 3 months ago, 4 months ago when COVID first started, and I'm getting emails now from YouTube. You played this song. It's not. I was like, dude. And I wrote back to him, like, entertainment purposes only. I'm going to make any money while fucking playing trivia with my friend. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they got to fucking relax that shit, man. No one's making. And I'm wondering how these DJs. I'm watching these, like, these freestyle fucking DJs and all that. And these rap DJs. I don't know how they get permission to play their stuff online. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? There's a guy I work with who, you know, he comes in and, you know, puts music on or whatever. And. Like, he always has a Facebook DJ or somebody playing, and I, you know, same thing. I don't know how. Listen, you know, they got to make money as well. Like, you know, you got these people that DJ. You know, I'm not even talking about clubs. I'm talking about like bars and, you know, and even like weddings or whatever. Like, you know, they still got to make money. Nobody's doing anything, so they're putting their shit up on Facebook, and then like meanwhile, like I said, Facebook is hacking them out, going, hey, listen. You don't own this. You're gonna have a strike against you or what have you.
Yeah, speaking of shit, check your phone. That's why Choppy's not in the chair right now.
Oh, I see. Well, he put it in the chat too with a poop emoji.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to? I'm not gonna wait.
We can start whatever you want to do.
And now here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, once he gets his visit from Mr. Poopies, he'll be back, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
let's see here. What's going on over here with these gimmicks? Pull that up. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so tonight's Saturday night's main event.
Yes.
I just want to talk about the year, which is 1990. And a very year for the WWF in general. This being the 27th, I think, the main event this was. And they're doing like two or three a year, you know?
Yeah.
I got into a wormhole this morning. I watched the rest of tonight's throwback, and I started watching. I watched SummerSlam 1990 and started watching some YouTube clips, and, you know, Mr. Perfect now was the IC champ, and we'll get into that in a little while, but, like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter going heel, like, it's all kind of...
Yes.
It was weird. They bring Hogan back, you know, and it's we'll get into that, too, in a few minutes, but...
Yeah.
But it's like it's just weird looking back on it with the 30 year later eyes, you know. It's kind of weird seeing like the Ultimate Warrior in that role, and you know, and you could tell they're trying to do different stuff, and it's a weird transition, you know. And I as a 15-year-old, you're like, you're all right, you know. Seeing Dusty there was weird at one point, and but the talent. The roster was so deep, like ridiculously deep, and I'm like, Vince probably made a mess all over himself every time he toured, because he had to have Jay, because you look at
these guys they're doing, you know, two shows mostly, but some areas three shows, and that's, you're talking about money on top of money.
It's And, you know, now it's, he's got, and he, you get, they're plugging WrestleMania now. This is the start of it. Like, this is the start of Vince finally, like, not just seeing the vision of the company, but, like, him having confidence in different guys. And, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask you guys is, like I said, I was a young tyke. At this point, and you know, I was a Hulk Hogan guy. It's all about Hulk Hogan, and Choppy's got a shit-eating grin on.
Yuli, everything come out all right, Yuli.
Oh man, I took the Browns to the Super Bowl. And it feels great.
Jay, you were saying.
So it's actually good that he's in the room. We're starting a throwback. So 1990, clearly, with you know, the ball, it's Ultimate Warriors time. But you could see still that Vince was still showcasing Hogan, like, oh Hulk, you know, come on back, giving him a big spot. You know, that Hogan, the promo, the vignette leading to the interview with the storyline with Tugboat, which is hilarious. But like that whole thing, that was a big chunk of time in primetime TV. So I think a little bit is Vince hedging his bets a little bit. He's like, yeah, no, Warriors the future, but we still, like, to me, Hulk Hogan was always the number one guy. Like, now, Phil, like, during that time, were you going, like, yeah, let's go Ultimate Warrior, or, like, were you going?
I hated Hulk Hogan, always. You know, so I was, when Warrior beat him, I was like, all right. I mean, I wasn't a big Warrior fan, per se, but it was just, like I said, it was weird. Is that my man Paws I see? Did I see his tail?
That's him.
Is that
he
my boy?
In here.
Oh, that's my boy, man.
He's the best.
We're pals, me, him, and Mr. Paws. Anyway, so, you know, it was weird. Now, all right, Hogan, Warrior wins title in April. Okay, fine. Now you want to see where he goes with it, and I'm like, all right, well, they're going to throw Rude at him because him and Rude have a history. But Hogan not in the spotlight was refreshing for freshman high school Phil, because it was really cool to see other guys shine. You know, whether they were heels or fate, it doesn't matter. You know, it didn't have to always rely on Hogan, you know. Mm-hmm. And Vince finally, I don't want to say let his guard down, but like I said before, right before Choppy sat down, I think Vince has the vision of now he doesn't have to keep relying on the same fucking three guys. You know, he doesn't have Andre no more. Piper's not wrestling anymore. He doesn't have Orndorff or Bundy or Stud no more. He's got new big guys. He's got Dino Bravo. He's got Earthquake. But now he still has Hogan. But now he's got Hercules and, you know, but, you know, mm-hmm. he still has the big man. But you got them, and they bring in Carrie Lonergan. We'll talk about that tonight. But you have big guys still. You still have the Macho.
As Choppy's pointing at Ultimate Warrior, I believe he's pointing at.
And he still has Macho and DiBiase and fucking Dusty and Sherry Martel. It's so deep. And even Santana's still hanging around. Even Snooker was in a fucking vignette, right? So my, you know, looking through it through these eyes now, 30 years later, I can honestly tell you that it was really fun watching this, and we'll get into the very, very first match from Omaha, Nebraska, July 16th, 1990. It's Saturday night's main event, number 27, 10,303 in attendance.
Big house.
And let me tell you something. You want the definition of pop? There's Mr. Pause. You want a definition of pop? Listen to these two guys come out. I was a little pissed off that they fucking edited Rick Rude's music.
And I agree.
Yeah, why did they do that?
I think the song they used was copyrighted.
By Jim Johnson?
No, that wasn't a Jim Johnson song, dude.
Oh, it was not?
That was like that's an old striptease burlesque.
I know that.
So that's got to be fucking, it's got to be copyrighted by some schmuck in the 30s, you know, who got royalties, didn't get royalties for it, and his grand son's probably suing him, you know? Uh-oh, what's going on? I think he's getting rid of the cat. But, yeah, so the Ultimate Warrior is now continuing his feud with Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, we all know the moveset of the Ultimate Warrior was not the greatest. We know he wasn't one of the best workers, and we know now later on in years to pass, learned to come to find out that he wasn't the nicest of people either at one point in his career. So it now.
Well, I would say probably half his career he wasn't a nice guy.
Right.
You know,
yeah. That's
not trying. Not trying to speak ill of the dead, but truth is truth.
Right. Yeah. Know? Right. So I mean, he made his men's. He made his men's, but at one point he was not very well liked. Now,
this match was good though.
Right. Exactly.
This match was very good.
Correct. You flipped the coin. This is why we have you guys. When you flip the coin, and you get his opponent, who's a world-class fucking amazing worker, who's a great heel, the mouthpiece of the fucking century, you can believe that Rick Rude can be world champion at this point in a cage. You know, Ultimate Warrior doesn't do cage matches, really. That's not his forte. Rick Rude is a caged veteran. He's that guy, and they sold that as such.
If you give the Ultimate Warrior the right opponent, he could produce a very good match. For example, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, Macho Man Randy
Harley
Savage.
Harley Race. I saw Harley Race,
yes.
Hulk Hogan.
I have it on DVD. It was Harley Race as the King. He fought Savage in the Boston Gardens. Can I tell you, fantastic. I think Jay's frozen on the screen.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Are you right there? Yeah. There he is.
It just came in choppy. I don't know. I have no idea. What you fucking, something's bad today.
What do you got? What do you got? Your fucking dial-up over there? We got Hotmail going on over there?
56K J Cop. That's what he got.
56K. 56K Chop. I love it. I love it. Anyway, so cage match, Ultimate Warrior defending the WWE Championship against Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner. But they open up the whole thing with the Omaha, Nebraska fucking Wild Kingdom gimmick with Lord Alfred Hayes and Mean Gene, who was a kid calling him Jim. And they're looking for some mouth of the river fucking thing. It was hysterical. But let's get into this match. Huh? This match is pretty good.
I enjoyed the hell out of this match a lot.
You know, just the old school blue cage.
It was basically Rick Rude just bouncing around the ring for Warrior at certain points in the match.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I love the spot where Warrior was going to go for the splash, and then Rick Rude got his knees up, which was a perfect spot to get Rude to take control of the match. My favorite spot of the match now is when Rick Rude did that back mule kick into Warrior's gut and then hit the Rude Awakening so fast. It was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing spot. I love that. That was great.
You know, and the Warrior did, you know, the better the talent he fights, the better he'll sell, the better he'll, and the better he'll participate. It won't go like a 10-minute fucking, you know, gorilla press and, you know, the finish, which is one of the stupidest finishes on the planet.
Yeah.
He does a splash, does a splash to the guy's back instead of the front.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice the weird edit at the end when he was running? I think he was running to the ropes that was closest to Rude, and then they edited it together where he was going towards him. So, like, clearly he ran sideways and then had to come back to run to him. Like, you know, like Warrior would always run against the ropes different ways.
Yeah.
So there was a weird edit at the end that I caught. But all in all, you can't have a bad match with Rick Rude, and especially when you have atomic drops galore, reverse and regular atomic drops. Rick Rude selling an atomic drop.
Rick Rude, when he takes an atomic drop, it's like hell freezes over for him. It's like it's the end of the world. It's like his back cannot take a licking anymore. That's how well he sells that shit.
It was so funny.
Exactly. And you know what? I always like the stuff at the end too with Heenan. Heenan taking a few licks. You could see how rough Warrior was with as a non-worker per se. Like, he's just pushing Heenan's head in, and Heenan's going in so slightly, so, like, you know, he's stopping him a little bit.
Well, Jay, right before this all happened, when the Warrior had a series of matches with Bobby Heenan in on the circuit here in the Garden and Meadowlands, and that was the Weasel Suit matches, and it was basically 5 minutes of Bobby Heenan getting manhandled.
Yeah.
And then Warrior putting him to sleep and then putting him in a weasel suit. And then him just, you know, and then Warrior smacks his neck to wake him up, and then he wakes up and he's fucking bouncing around. He's like all jittery. But Bobby, and you should look these up. They're pretty funny. I was actually at one of them. But it's, you know, Bobby Heenan even said he hated the Warrior. Couldn't stand him. And that led into the whole Andre story when he worked with Andre, and Andre wouldn't bump for Andre. Andre fucking punched him in the face in the middle of a ring. Because Andre likes the arm spot when he gets his arms caught in the ropes.
Yeah,
like he puts himself. He tells guys, "I want that spot. You know, you get me. That's how you get me." Warrior wouldn't do it. So Warrior bounces off the ropes. Andre puts his fist out.
Fucking nailed him.
And that was it. And Warrior's like, oh, maybe I should play nice now because Andre's going to knock me out. But, yeah, Bobby Heenan talked in length a few times, even in shoot interviews, about how bad the Warrior was in terms of being sloppy and not really taking direction well, which is weird because he had great matches with better guys.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, at the time, it was an ego thing. You had a lot of egos there, man. You had Savage, you had Hogan, you had, you know, Ultimate Warrior. You had a lot of egos in terms of talent.
Well, and also you even got Rick Rude, who I believe, what, after SummerSlam is done in WWF and goes down to WCW, right? 90, right? Doesn't he begin in the beginning of 91?
Dangerous Alliance was 92, I think. I have to look that up.
He comes in as the
Halloween
as the masked man.
Halloween.
Yeah,
correct,
so.
Correct.
You know, there's got to be some sour grapes on Rick Rude. He should have been, you know, you can, you know, Shaylin said it, a fantasy warfare, like having Rick Rude as a WWF champ. Like, there's an argument to be made. He should have had a run with that belt.
Well, there's certain, I mean, there's a bunch. Choppy and I had a list at one point. We would do this in the car like every other day. Like, there were guys that were mid-card guys back then who could have been world champion, and two of them are on this fucking card right now, meaning
yes.
Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude, ironically best friends in real life, and they're from the same part of town.
Yes.
But,
both Minnesota boys.
Yeah. So, like, every major Fed had mid-card guys who could have been world champion and just didn't because of what was going on. And listen, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? So you either put your ego aside and take your payday and do what you got to do, or you move on. And guys moved on. A lot of guys didn't want – listen, there were guys who felt disrespected and went to fucking Japan and made a living out of it. You know, Stan Hansen was like, I'm not jobbing to Lex Luger anymore. I'm not jobbing to Rick Martel anymore. I'm going to Japan. I'm going to kill people. And that's what he did. Him, Brody, Williams, and Gordy. Gordy just, you know, like – and Gordy walked away from the fucking Freebirds, and they had a payday everywhere they went. They were over everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were over everywhere they went, the Freebirds. And he took a huge risk leaving.
Yeah.
So guys did have – but there were not many alternatives back then, you know, at that point in the game. You know what I'm saying? So you had to feel jaded in terms of Rick Rude. You had to feel like, oh, my God, I'm not getting my push. I'm leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So – but this was a good match. They had a good feud period.
Yes, they did. I agree.
They had a great feud with the whole pose down, and you know, then when they went back and forth for the IC title, it just continued. I thought it was great. And between two titles, the Warrior had it was sweet. But this was a fun match. Warrior worked with somebody who can work, you know.
Yeah,
and made him make like $1 million. You know, the promos were over the top,
and also he had different. Face paint on today. Nothing over the eyes. Everything was under the eyes. You know,
it was like
teased hair. It was like feathered out hair.
Yeah.
Warrior.
He even put fucking face paint on for his promo after the match.
Yeah. Okay.
I said, it was an experiment that had to happen because the groundswell that was for Warrior at this point it was just unstoppable. So. You know, you could see where they were going, but I still feel that Vince was, especially with the next vignette that aired with, you know, Hogan or whatever, like, you could just tell he's still hedging his bets, in my opinion.
How cheesy was that promo? Oh, my fucking God. I wanted to rip every eyeball out of my socket and just, like, drown myself in fucking vodka after that because it was...
You're right. You're 100% right. However, did you hear the crowd? That wasn't piped in.
Yeah.
That's why he is who he is. They loved him.
This is going to be the second time we're mentioning Jim Johnston. I love the slow down piano version of Real American in the background.
That was the worst part of the whole promo.
I loved it.
But that gave me fucking agita and diarrhea cramps.
I might put it off a table and just be like, this is what wrestling... How bad do you feel now about Hulk Hogan? Huh? Earthquake almost took out a real American.
Oh, Lord. I wish Earthquake had really taken out Hogan for real. Jesus Christ on a fucking cracker. Was that terrible?
Oh, that was, yeah, it was.
And then they got the shot of the little girl with a tear coming in her eye. Oh, so stupid. I hate it.
But then they start talking about, you know, and then they have Tugboat come in. Where, like, Tugboat is shaking his hand, and Tugboat looks at his hands like, oh, my God, he touched me.
I'm surprised he didn't touch his crotch at the same time while he was at it. I mean, seriously. God, that was fucking awful. And I'm glad that Tugboat turns up. Eventually, the Tugboat does turn heel.
The Natural Disasters, yeah.
And the joys of an Earthquake.
But they made Earthquake look like a fucking monster.
They did.
I loved Earthquake at this time. I don't know what it was about him. I know he was a heel, but I loved him. He was a believable badass that could topple anybody.
Yeah, it was great because, mm-hmm. I mean, every manager had some good shit going on, you know. Like Slick had Akeem and the Boss Man just turned. Mr. Fuji was still hanging around with the Orient Express at this point, but not tonight. But like every manager
and
had
mind you, this is Hogan coming out with the red and yellow, like the red shirt on. He hasn't had red shirts since 85.
Right, so
he was always coming out for the yellow.
Who cares? Ahead,
but the crew, I care, stupid. Choppy. I care. Yeah.
Them stupid gay black boots and cowboy boots.
He came out looking good. He has some black leather cowboy boots on, some black leather pants. That dude was ready to go. That was a new revamped Hulk Hogan right there.
Oh, Lord.
Chop. Jay's all excited because that's going to be his gear when he goes biking again.
I'm wearing that tomorrow.
Jay's all excited because he's gonna get Tabor a helmet. He's going to put on his fucking leather boots. And he's going to fucking...
Are you going to wear some chaps with that fucking outfit?
You know, like, you're like the fifth person to ask me that, and the answer to that is, of course, yes.
They better be assless chaps like Road Warrior Hawks.
If you're going to be cool, you better forget the chaps, forget the black jeans. Just wear your Zubaz, and you'll look cool just like that.
Oh, yes. Put your Zubaz on and get one of those fucking New Japan fanny packs.
Yeah! There you go.
And an Atlas Gym shoestring tank top.
Yep. And you got to get.
Because after all, Taba is a body guy.
You got to get Taba a fucking an Ico Pro shirt. You know? if you're gonna do it right. Don't be a douche about it, you know?
You are right.
Don't be a douche canoe. All right, your next match for the WWF Tag Team Championship. Freebird Rule again, Axe Smash, and now the incoming Crush, Shaka Bra.
Yes.
Versus the Rockers.
This match was good.
This match was good. I hated fucking Crush, though. I couldn't.
Yeah. Can I just say something?
Sure.
Why Crush looks like the less intimidating of the three
right?
members?
He looks like he was forced to put that paint on.
He looks like he has a sourpuss on his face the whole time.
Bill Eady is 75 years old here.
He could still work
Crush
though.
Looks less intimidating than Bill Eady.
Bill Eady probably put his mule in his face in Crush's face in catering. Like, listen, Dick, I'm gonna put this makeup on. And then smash. And then Barry Dawson's like, I'll take your stinking teeth. And then Crush gets all upset. He's sitting in the room all by himself. And he's like, there's a lighted mirror in front of him. And he's sitting there, and he's like contemplating his fucking awful mullet. And he's contemplating, looking at the screen, looking at the mirror, going, oh, man, I got to wear this shit and look like a fucking dominatrix at the same time? Like, dude, look at the role that you're with the hottest heel tag team in wrestling right now.
And you're the champion.
Well, newly heel. They were baby faces for a little bit, but now they're newly heel.
Right, but still, like, you were Demolition.
And you're the champs.
You're the tag team champions. Correct. 100%. So now you're like, he looks so fucking, and in the promo, I'm like, ugh. It was cringeworthy. He's like, yeah, we're going to make them suffer. I'm like, dude, really? You had all fucking day to plan for this. You know who you were fighting the Rock is. You had one job. You had one job, Crush. One fucking job.
Can we all just, in unison, say think that maybe just maybe Crush was awful.
Oh, 100%. I never liked Crush. The only time I like Crush is the fucking WrestleMania 10 with him and Savage in the
yes.
That was a good match. Yes. That was a good match.
Stop.
No, come
Stop.
On.
I liked heel Crush. I liked heel 90s Crush.
When
yes.
Savage
I have to
when
agree.
Savage hung him by his feet. That was pretty dope.
Crush with that stupid getup and that, oh my God, it was nuts.
Shaka-bra.
You know. He was terrible.
And remember when he was part of the Nation of Domination? He had those.
Yeah, that was Jailbird Crush.
Oh. Jailbird Crush, ring that.
That was
bell.
Jailbird Crush.
I think I found the name of the episode.
And then he came back, and you know, but what was he? The apocalypse. Oh God,
DOA.
DOA.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. He was the disciples. That was Biker Crush. You know, he had a lot of different crushes out there.
That was his DOA. That was his career dead on arrival. Fucking terrible, man. He was awful.
And the fact that he was a tag team champion with WWF and WCW was surprising to me.
Chronic. They made him work Doink the Clown for a little while too. Remember that?
You know, I didn't hate that stuff with Doink either. With Doink with the fake arm.
Yeah, you were probably 10 years old too at the time.
That's why I liked it. Fucking, makes sense.
Of course.
Leather
boots over there. All right, fucking Easy Rider.
Easy Rider, that's the name of the episode.
That could be it.
That's it right there. Yo, Shaylin just said that when Jay rides his bike, he'll have Limp Bizkit in the background saying, rolling, rolling, rolling.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
Look, that shit's funny.
Oh, wait, hold on a minute. I got to get the full effect of this. Oh, man. Oh, hold on a second. Here we go.
When I leave Phil's house next time, I'm just going to go like this.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, don't do that.
Did you know Guys Then, is now offering an extra?
Shut up. Hold on a minute, dish rag. Fucking YouTube. You and your fucking stupid ads. Kill yourself. Hold on a second. Look at this chick. Oh, shut up. I got 3 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second. Here we go.
Here we go.
Come on, you cum dumpster. Here we go.
That's my generation. That's not rolling.
No, hold on. Wait for it.
Hey, yo. Yo, Red Cap. What up? Do me a favor.
Well, here comes a mark.
Watch it for me. Don't scratch it.
Oh, you've done it now. You're gonna make a big mistake.
What is this? This is a chocolate starfish?
Whatever. Chocolate dog shit, you ask me.
That album was awful.
Significant Other was way better. Way!
Chocolate Starfish and a hot dog flavored water was a great album.
Yeah, Chocolate Dog Shit and the hot dog flavored dog shit was worse. Get out of here. Yeah, look at this Philly doing the roll inside. Oh boy.
Shaylin just called me Jay Evil.
Yeah, more like Jay Jerkoff.
Jay Evil, the Easy Rider. This should be your Halloween costume. You should go as fucking. You should go as Undertaker.
No, I'm gonna go as DOA Crush with the braids.
Oh Lord!
You braid your hair, I'm gonna knock you the fuck out.
No, I want you to braid your hair just so I'll fucking knock you the fuck out.
Just on principle, please, for the love of Jesus Christ and Latter Day Saints, don't do that. All right, but this match was, like Choppy said, was really, really good, though.
Yeah, I do like the fact that even though Sean and Marty were the smaller of the two teams, whenever one of them would hit a drop kick on one of those guys, then both of them would actually fall down. Because I remember reading Sean's book, and whenever they would go up against Demolition guys would just take like two or three drop kicks to knock them down. And this match, they were actually taking one drop kick, and Demolition guys were going down with one drop kick, which I enjoyed watching that.
Well, Crush had He had guys that worked well.
Yeah, of course.
He was blessed. He was blessed because everybody in that ring can work, you know. And The Rock is. You want to talk about tag team continuity and like they were fucking Rock and Roll Express in those hot
tags.
They're
fluid.
Oh my God! With between the frequent tag, the arm wrenches and the drop kicks and the and like cutting the ring off of these guys, it's like come on, man! It's and then Demolition doing the fucking Freebird thing doing the whole hiding thing, which leads into the SummerSlam match with 2 out of 3 falls against the Hart Foundation.
Yeah,
which we'll do next month.
What about the Road Warriors, the Hart Foundation, the Rockers, all in the same ring? That was dope.
Yeah, it's fun, and you know, but and I'm, I wasn't a big Rockers fan to begin with, but between those matches with them and the fucking Orient Express, and then they had a couple matches with the Brainbusters, and like really, really good. They were a good team, man.
I was a huge fan of the Rockers, man. A lot of people, Rockers.
A lot of people really were. Good. I just wasn't. I was more into the fucking spikes and the fucking and the violence.
Oh, you were into those dildos that they wore on those shoulder pads? Absolutely, you were.
Hey, listen, those dildos poke Dusty's eye out. You want about eye for an eye? That's a fucking angle right there. Yeah, try to do that for Seth Rollins, you dildo. anyway, I digress.
But like I said, like you know, this was a good match, and they introduced Crush, I think, right after WrestleMania, correct? Or you know, and I think it was Billy Eady was out, you know, was out sick or hurt. Oh, he was wrestling in Japan or something like that, and they needed to introduce somebody else to, you know, to keep him going. So, and then they started doing, like you said, they started doing the Freebird gimmick. And like I said, I, you know, not Crush's best stuff. Well, if actually probably argument sake, it probably is his best stuff. <It's> because he was part of Demolition.
Best gimmick, bar none. Yeah. Let's forget about the Jailbird Crush. Forget about Kona Crush. Forget about
Shaka Bra.
Forget about fucking Eagle Crush. Forget about fucking Chronic Crush.
Chronic.
Chronic Crush was awful.
Chronic.
Are you trying the gimmick?
I did. It was a little echo there. Anyway, go ahead. Carry on.
Yeah. But like I said, I this was another good match. The same thing, and then Didi, I don't think he stayed around much longer after this, right? I think it was
there was some sour grapes about payouts and you know the workload, and they wanted him to take a job in the office, and he thought he could still
work. I was
going
to say he was supposed to get off the road or something.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was allegedly promised some shit, you know. But that, you know, again, it's all tower grapes, so it is what it is. And that's one of the reasons why they brought Crush in, but it was their demise, because next month is SummerSlam. We'll get into that next month, but
yeah.
And like Choppy said, having all those teams in the ring, that was pretty cool, because you get to see everybody who's involved in the tag team division, you know?
And it shows you just the level of the tag team wrestling was in those days, because look at the tag team the tag teams that we have now. You hardly have any tag teams. Back in those days, you had Power and Glory. You had fucking the Rockers. You had Demolition. You had the Road Warriors. And if I'm not mistaken,
Akeem and the Boss Man.
What happened?
Akeem and the Boss Man before they broke
up. Akeem and the Boss. There's tons of teams, man.
The Twin Towers. As Slick would say.
It was just a great era for tag team wrestling.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%. I enjoyed that match a lot. And I remembered, like, when I picked this, I'm like, oh, this is the match, the Rockers match with the LOD. I was like, this is great. And I had to watch SummerSlam today just because I was, you know, I had some downtime. I was fucking bored. I'm like, oh, let me just be proactive and watch that fucking, that Power and Glory match. We'll get into that in a couple of weeks. All right. Your next match was, well, the Ultimate Warrior did win the title, but he was also IC champ at the time, so he had to get the belt up for a tournament. And Mr. Perfect won the tournament, and I think he beat Santana in the finals.
Yes, he did.
So on Superstars.
Yes.
So now this is basically the rematch from the tournament.
And this, to me, was match of the night, hands down.
Yeah.
Oh man. God.
We've talked about Tito Santana in length on how he just stayed around for like between 85 and like 93. He was everywhere. Whether he was in a tag team, whether he was a fucking a matador, it didn't matter. He was around. You know,
I was a fan of the matador gimmick. I'm sorry, I know what it was about it. I loved it.
I mean, listen, I was young. I didn't like really know much
force.
Better.
I like Strike Force.
You know, but it was a little...
racist?
A little racist.
Yes, thank you.
A little bit?
A little bit.
How about who was racist when Jesse the Body Ventura keeps calling him Chico Santana?
Chico.
The best is when Gorilla would fucking... That's Tito. That's what I said, Monsoon. That's what I said, Monsoon Chico.
And he called, and then he would call his flying forearm the flying burrito.
The flying burrito.
Shining Wizards, Tito Santana, uncrowned world champion. We talked about that too. The Wizards talked. That was like an extension of the shows. We got into a huge fucking discussion about that a couple years ago. Maybe not even a couple years ago. Maybe a little shorter than that. But Santana to me, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Actually, my first memories of watching title matches was him and Greg Valentine. And him in Morocco, because I mean, just amazing stuff. But Santana was a consummate professional. He was an awesome worker, and this being no different, perfect was so fucking in tune, man.
And smooth and fluid, man. And athletic. He was the man.
He was absolutely perfect.
Absolutely.
What's so funny?
Ariba. Yeah, like the Shining Wizard just said. Ariba McIntyre. WrestleMania 8 has to be one of the funniest commentaries. That and Survivor Series 93, perhaps, with Bobby Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon.
This, every time I hear Santana's name, I shout out our boy Danny Milano from Cooking in Brooklyn. Danny's a Macho Man freak, just like Choppy is. Danny gets really fucking drunk and does an imitation of him. So on 4th of July, right? I got a video of this, by the way.
I have it, too. It was fantastic.
So they're doing fireworks like a fucking – they're tossing in the middle of the street. Jay, things are blowing up in the middle of fucking Fanning Street, right? He goes out there, shirt and all. He's doing the fucking twirl. He's got the glasses. So he comes back after he does his little clapping here and starts cutting up Spanish. There's a promo online of Savage going, "No West Tito Santana, no West Hulk Hogan," and he did the whole fucking promo, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So I go online, I find the fucking promo of he's on, it was Macho Man was on like fucking Telemundo or something like that, and he cut the whole promo in Espanol, and it was fucking brilliant. So every time I hear it, he was like, "No West Tito Santana, no West Hulk Hogan," and I was like, "Dude, just priceless!" Shout out to Danny Milano, by the way, Cooking in Brooklyn.
Hey Phil, yo, can you say "Sabado Gigante" with Macho's voice?
Sabado Gigante, esta noche basura,
el creme de crop,
como se dice cerveza,
Como se dice, lick my asshole.
Como se dice, my asshole stings, huh?
Como se dice, cream of crop?
Yeah. Como se dice, cream of
crop? Como se dice, la crema?
Crema de leche,
Oh, Lord.
Man, shout out to Danny. Shout out to Bridgeside. Brooklyn definitely representing. So now, Perfect and Santana put on a fucking clinic. I mean, it's up there. It's match of the night. It narrowly beats out the Rockers and Demolition, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's neck and neck at that point. If you're gonna go, match for match like that.
What made this match like very, very good was just the fact that the near fall finishes, the ref hurting his knee or his ankle, and then the fat ass ref running in trying to get that save. And almost getting the 1-2-3 and the drama, storytelling. What's key in a match is the storytelling. It was perfect. No pun intended.
And whoever booked this card is smart, because the following match is the next opponent for Mr. Perfect.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Enter the newly babyface superstar, World Wrestling Federation, the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich.
I'll tell you, man. Kerry Von, Vince McMahon must have been salivating.
Here's where I'm going to come in and pick it apart a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
If you're debuting Kerry Von Erich, why are you doing it in Omaha, Nebraska?
It's Saturday night's main event, dog.
I understand. That makes sense. Why would you not try to go somewhere down south?
What, dude?
Where the Von Erichs were over.
That didn't matter. He got the mention. He's from one of the greatest wrestling families of all time. And on top of that, it's Saturday night's main event. So they're TV taping it anyway. It's not live.
Yeah, but it came out to like no, there was no crowd response. They didn't even pipe it in.
There was no live television back then, except for pay-per-view. Yeah.
Except for pay-per-views,
right? So they didn't have Raw, SmackDown, or
yeah. But why not? Why not have the crowd? Like, why not go down south? So at least, like, maybe you could have went to Texas. But he's a fucking god.
I don't know, Jay. Maybe because he's going to be winning the Intercontinental Championship in the next month.
But have him win it down. At least, like I said, at least his debut or whatever. Like that's one takeaway I took away from.
Buddy Rose. Buddy Rose.
Poor Buddy Rose.
The Prince of Portland. Oh, man. I like Buddy Rose. He had some...
Man, but that's like a motherfucker.
He can still work.
He was unbelievable.
He can still... Him and Doug Summers with Sherry Martel, they were a good tag team in AWA, man. Playboy mm-hmm. Buddy Rose was the shit, man. Body Blow... Was that Blow By... Was that what that gimmick he had with the weight loss?
The Blow-Away Diet.
The Blow-Away Diet. Blow-Away
Diet. That's what it was.
So is this before or after the clubfoot accident? This is after?
After.
Way after, yeah. In all honesty, you got to think about it like this. Kerry Von Erich started wrestling when he was like 19 years old, you know? And through all the abuse that he put through his body in world class, and then, you know, losing his foot, he was like half of a wrestler right now at this point, you know? He was good, but he wasn't like, you know, world class good anymore. And then on top of that, I think, and call it crazy, Kerry Von Erich was only 30 years old by this point. He was still a baby in the business, but he had put so much damage onto his body. He's already, I think, at this point, he's already past his prime, you know.
And I think he's already more or less riddled with you know drug addiction and what have you, and all this stuff.
But
like I said, I love you know. Match is good. Like he body slammed him twice or three times in that match where it was like, and it looked like nothing. And that's a tribute to Buddy Rose, like just getting up, you know, like kind of like that. But I particularly like, you know, he had the great punch and, you know, Ventura just picking it apart going, oh, it was a closed fist. It was a closed fist, McMahon. But yeah, like when does he win the belt? He wins it.
SummerSlam.
From
the next month.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
Yeah, man, he wins it the fucking month later. He's in the company for a month.
Again, it just shows you how much Vince loved Kerry Von Erich because he had the perfect physique for. Like, if you think about it, him and Ultimate Warrior had the same fucking physique.
Absolutely.
He was the modern day Warrior, and then you had the Ultimate Warrior.
That's
so.
Why they didn't call him Modern Day Warrior. Vince wanted his own gimmick, so he gave him Texas Tornado.
Texas Tornado.
Before we get into Hulk Hogan or Sergeant Slaughter or any of that stuff, I have the promo from Telemundo. You guys want to hear it?
Oh, please.
Oh,
please,
yes,
do.
Please.
All right. This is from August 18th, 1986. This is right after Savage won the title. This is February, March. I mean, like 6 months after he won the title, whatever it is. So here we go.
Portando, continúa ciñéndose el cinturón de campeón intercontinental, campeón intercontinental de peso completo, el gran, el fabuloso Randy Macho Man Savage.
Muy bien.
Ajá, muy bien.
Yeah, la estrella de lucha libre. Es Macho Man Randy Savage, no es Tito Santana, no es Ricky Steamboat, no es nobody. Yeah, nunca, yeah. Es este mío. How do you like that for learning Spanish? Yeah, because I'm the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion of the world, and I figure that I have to talk different languages, even if it doesn't have to be specific, because I am the champion, cannot be denied. Hulk Hogan cannot be denied, yeah, except with the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, because all of a sudden, I'm more important than Hulkamania, yeah, talking about Macho Madness, and it's true. And you can talk about music from different people around the country. Man, you can say that Pink Floyd makes you think. But you can't say that Jim Croce is the reason for living if you haven't believed it in the past. Because if it's in the past, it's got roots. And I've got roots. Yeah, I paid my dues and I have the championship belt that I have at this particular time. And some people get something that they really want. But they can't hold on to it any longer. No, because they give it away. They ain't ready for that big chance.
Muy bien, dice que ha sentado un presidente. Un precedente. Eso es, que ha sentado raíces con su gran figura de campeón. No es ni Tito Santana ni Ricky Steamboat el campeón. Y Hulk Hogan es mucho menos cuando Macho Man se decida a ir por el campeonato mundial completo de la WWF.
Yeah, life is something funny at times, but then life can be a real descriptive and then have it right out there in front of you, but then they throw you a curve and the wind blows and get bad weather. Yeah, so you don't really know what's going to happen from time to time, except you can think a lot, yeah, and you can ponder on what you're going to do to different people if you get the opportunity, and then when you got them down, you have to take advantage of a situation. And I say keep them down because somewhere later in life, they may get up and put you down and learn that valuable lesson, but I don't have to learn a valuable lesson. I've used mental telepathy a lot of times, and certain people that were in certain positions didn't understand what I was thinking, but they'll pay. They'll pay.
He broke character. You saw that. You heard that, right?
Pocas palabras, cuando llega la oportunidad hay que aprovecharla. Y él usa telepatía más bien para lograr sus grandes propósitos.
Yeah.
El fabuloso
pay.
Randy Savage Macho Man.
Yeah, pay man. Yeah, everybody pays the fiddler.
Yo, no es Tito Santana, no es Ricky Steamboat.
How about that for learning Spanish, huh? I am the Intercontinental Champion.
Lucha Libre, I can say different languages,
My favorite was when he said, I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion of the world. No, motherfucker. Yeah. It's not a world title, you stupid idiot.
And when you have the past, you gotta have the roots. And I have the roots. I paid my dues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Como se dice, my asshole hurts.
Much like Shailen just said, classic Savage at his finest.
And this is why he's my number one.
No is Tito Santana. No is Ricky Steamboat.
No is
the fucking best. Danny, if you're listening, I'm going to get Danny. Next time I see Danny, he's going to be drunk anyway. So when I see Danny, I'm going to make him do it again for video. I want to make it crystal clear so I can see it. He fucking loves it. And I was like, wait, I said, I don't remember this promo. Like, yo, you got to see the promo. He speaks Spanish. I'm like, wait, how did I miss this?
Is that on YouTube?
Yes. It's called Macho Man Savage. Yeah, Macho Man Savage interview in Spanish, 8/16.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, I got to see it.
Oh, that is awesome.
And I think it's Hugo Semenovich doing the interviewing too. I think that's the guy from.
Is that Francisco? Ooh. Francisco
Cabrera, Sorose, WWF. I don't know. Sponsored by Budweiser and Corona Cerveza Masfina.
La Burger King.
La Burger King.
La Whopper.
No, what was the other one? Tide, Extra Bleach. it's like no, Tide, Extra Bleach.
You know what I loved about the Spanish channel? It was that you didn't need cable to watch. It was on channel 41.
Well, 47. Telemundo or Galavision.
Galavision.
And you had CMLL.
And they used to show wrestling a lot. CMLL and
Triple A.
On Saturday nights or something like that.
Speaking of Triple A, they want to do Triple Mania this year?
Triple A maybe it was, yeah.
And Kenny Omega is their champion.
Oh, he's right. He's still a champion.
He's not allowed to go to Mexico right now, huh? He's indisposed. Yeah, he's indisposed.
Yo, Phil, what Shailen was just saying in the comments, she was saying, imagine Dusty Rhodes doing a Spanish promo.
Limites, hace mucho frio, if you will. Como se dice, Sapphire, sit on my face. Como se dice, I'm a son of a plumber. Como se dice, Telemundo, Sabado Gigante, Esta Noche, Cafe Con Leche, if you will.
Como se dice, how do you say, hanging from the rafters?
Hanging from the rafters, if you will.
Como se dice, you like this hat?
Como se dice, tip my hat to a lady.
Lady.
Yeah.
Como se dice, Jezebel. No, but
como se dice hard times.
Como se dice hard times.
Oh man.
No es Dusty Rhodes.
No es Dusty Rhodes. No es Tito Santana.
No es
Richie Steep.
No es Tumbrical Throwbacks. No, no, no. No,
no.
No es Bad News Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It's fucking
hysterical. But there's one thing I wanted to mention before about the Hogan thing with Tugboat coming out. Did you notice Tugboat doing a classic Shockmaster entrance into the ring? He goes underneath the bottom ring and fumbles to get into the ring.
Well, Fred Ottman was not the most athletic guy out there. So.
Poor Uncle Fred.
Poor Uncle Fred. Is that Uncle Fred?
You killed Uncle Freddy. Now you want to kill me, right? Fucking jerky poor boys. Oh, man.
A Typhoon, when we saw him at WrestleCon, he was a big boy, dude. He's still
yeah.
He's a nice man.
He is very
yeah.
nice.
Did I tell you I got my figure appraised? The Shockmaster figure that I got from Rob and Dave a couple of years ago from Comic-Con San Diego. It's still in the package to have the Shockmaster figure, right? And in the package, he's upside down. It's pretty dope.
That's so awesome.
Even with the packaging a little dented from the couple of moves I've had, it's worth $70 in the package.
Yeah.
Yeah. No as Tugboat, no as no as Shockmaster, no as Jay Evil. Yeah. No as
Impact Player, Phil Rea.
No as Chumpy, no as Easy Rider, uh-huh. No as Chapless Leather Boots and Bits and Bits and Bits and Bits and Crazy, uh-huh.
Oh,
man, this is good. That was fun. I needed that tonight. That was fucking great.
That was a really good Saturday night main event, man. I really yes. enjoyed the fuck.
Thank you very much.
Especially for the in-ring action. Like, all the matches, I mean, short of Kerry Von Erich, per se, but that match, it served its purpose. But the in-ring action was great. And like I said, Tito against Perfect was just clearly maybe not even clearly, but it was enough that you knew. You could see that on paper. Being
it was the match of the night. Just and think about this for a second. You had in the match prior to this one, you had four guys in the ring, which still produced a great match. But then you had Perfect and Tito producing a much better match, and it's only two guys in the ring.
Yes.
So it
yes.
just shows you how good Mr. Perfect and Tito were at commending the crowd.
No, it's Mr. Perfect. No, it's Playboy no Buddy Rose.
No,
it's El Gordito Buddy Rose. Uh-huh.
No, it's como se dice Texas Tornado.
Como se dice Clubfoot. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. El Clubo Foot Gigante. Yeah. I'm the champion. You're not. Lick my ass. Uh-huh. Yeah. Como se dice, where the fuck is Sapphire? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is fun. Really good card. Really good card. I'm glad.
And like I said, and it builds a perfect card up for SummerSlam, where you know
SummerSlam's a good card. I watched it yeah. today. It was fun. It's a fun watch.
Tell the listeners what you said about one Power and Glory.
Huh? I don't like Paul Roma, but I like Power and Glory. He was
eat a bag of dicks. You like Paul Roma.
I don't like Paul Roma as a horse. Paul Roma as a horseman was fucking dreadful.
Listen, he was a great horseman.
You're out of your fucking skull.
If he
was good, then Kendall Windham was fucking world class. How about that?
Kendall Windham was the retarded cousin of fucking Barry Windham. Greenpoint Barry, all right?
Greenpoint Barry. I told you
already, Barry Windham looked like a woman... A Polish woman with Down syndrome.
No, it's
okay?
Kendall. No, it's Kendall Windham.
No, it's Kendall.
No, it's Blackjack Mulligan. No, it's Mike Rotunda, the captain, El Capitan. Yeah.
No, it's counterfeit 20s.
Ring that bell. No, it's counterfeit. Como se dice bootleggers. Yeah, bootleggers. Uh-huh. Como se dice cryptocurrency? Yeah, cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Como se dice insider trading?
So I think the name of the episode should be called No Es Mr. Perfect, No Es Tito Santana.
No Es J Evil, yeah. No Es Easy Rider, uh-huh.
Oh, no. Or you can just write No Es dot, dot, dot.
No Es dot, 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 dot. Yeah, that's it. Any closing thoughts before we head out of here and start our weekend?
Nah, this is good. I'm actually, like you said, because you were saying about SummerSlam 90, I'm really looking forward to watching that. So
yeah, don't do
it. That actually might be something like you just did. I might just jump ahead to watch just because it's fresh in the old cerebellum.
In the cerebellum.
Nowhere's cerebellum.
Nowhere's cerebellum.
Using the big words, huh? Cerebellum, huh?
I'm very well read.
Como se dice college educated, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Como se dice,
como se dice
idiot.
No es high school. No es college.
You know what my dad used to say all the time to me? He's like, just because they go to college doesn't mean they're smart. They're just an educated idiot. Don't worry about it. They're still dumb as dog shit.
Yeah, just because that guy's mm-hmm. mom just because that guy's mom used to suck dick in a phone booth, don't make her a call girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just putting that out there. All right. No is prostitution, yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, ready to get out of here? I'm gonna play some music and fucking plug all shit.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys, patreon.com/turnbuckle throwbacks, turnbuckle throwbacks.com, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks.
Choppy2984 on Twitter.
At TBuckleTBacks on the Twit Machine. Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Instagram gimmicks, on the IG, as the kids call it now. What else? Yeah, on the IG. On the gram, that's right. We got,
on the gram.
Yeah, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com, Dark Satellite Media, Shining Wizards Network, Rant EM Radio. All the gimmicks, man. All of them. Anything else? Nothing?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, then
keep your two or four tires on the road and let's do this.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Uh huh. No, it's your sister. Yeah.